Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Good morning. Happy Friday, everyone. We've got a lot to talk about today, so I'm excited you're all here with us, of course. Oh, man, a lot going on around the world, and we're going to be breaking it down for you over the next 3 hours, so thank you for jumping on board. Let me just give you a little bit of a teaser, because we've got a lot of incredible guests joining the show today. We're going to be talking to two different criminal defense attorneys, because there's a lot to discuss. Obviously, this is the accountability tour, and it's kicking off with Big Tish going to prison potentially. So we'll be asking Joseph McBride about that. Steve Baker is also going to be joining us again. I know we had him on the show earlier in the week, but he's really working on a bunch of incredible reports. I want to make sure we follow those reports, because he just released another one on the pipe bomber, and he's giving you more information than anyone else out there right now. So we'll speak with him today. Also, we're expected to hear from James O'Keefe today. He should be joining our show at 11 a.m. Eastern time, which we're excited about. James has just recently heard back from the CCP about one of his latest reports, and they're actually speaking out. Now, this one is an interesting one. We played it for you yesterday. It was James' undercover reporter who found a government official going out there and openly admitting to dating someone who had close ties to the CCP. Well, now that individual is fired. And it's caused quite the stir. So we're excited to have James on the program as well today. Plus, Mark Mitchell joining the show, because there's brand new polls being released by Rasmussen Reports in regards to the peace deal and the shutdowns. So there's a lot underway. But in case you're wondering, specifically, what are we following today? Well, the First Lady, Melania Trump, is expected to speak at the White House at 11 a.m. Eastern time. According to her team, it is going to be a big announcement that they're going to be making. And so we look forward to that. Also, President Donald J. Trump is making an announcement as well at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. We don't know exactly what he's going to be announcing. We just know that he is making an announcement, and that is officially on his agenda. So we look forward to talking about that as well as it develops. The president will be bouncing around today. He's got a lot going on. He's heading over to Walter Reed National Military Center at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. And then he'll make his way back to the White House later in the afternoon. So, of course, a lot going on in the White House, a lot going on in this show. We look forward to bringing everything to you. Also, a lot happening right now in Gaza. Fox News actually had a camera outside, and it looks like the strip itself is very hectic right now. Take a look at this video. This was on Fox News earlier today. And according to reports, tens of thousands of Palestinians are flooding towards North Gaza after President Trump took his ceasefire took effect. And the peace deal looks to be going through. That coming from Eric Daltrey, who's reporting that on X. Many of these individuals are seeking to return to their homes, and they're looking to see possibly if their homes are destroyed, and they're trying to recover whatever property they can. So, interesting scene right now. We'll continue to follow it as it obviously develops. But it looks like peace in the Middle East is happening. We'll know more as the weekend develops, because, of course, that's when the terms of the first phase of the peace deal are supposed to be kind of dishing out. And so we'll see how it all works. Now, yesterday, Israel did openly admit that they'd have to release 250 inmates who are serving life sentences right now. Obviously, they are terrorists. Hamas demanding that they return those individuals if they want their 20 hostages back. So that's a part of the peace agreement. They will be getting back hundreds of terrorists. We'll see, because the details itself, too, I should also announce, are kind of being, they're kind of being concealed for now. We don't know all of the details. They're kind of letting some stuff trickle out. So we'll continue to follow it. But this weekend will be the clear indicator if both sides are being truthful. And I think that is going to be the big one on Monday for us to keep following, because, again, you know, we've seen ceasefires in the past. Both sides have violated those ceasefires. So will they hold true to the first phase of this peace deal? Well, we'll find out this weekend. We'll keep our eye on that. Folks, there's a lot going on around the world, a lot going on here in the country, especially with Tish James possibly going to prison. It brings a smile to my face. I'll discuss all of that and much, much more in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence, They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal. Happy Friday, everyone. I am not Rob Due. I am Brianna Morello. Not Brian Morello, Brianna Morello. That was a great one to start off the show, I have to say. We love Rob. He was just recently filling in, of course. And, you know, things happen. But happy Friday, everyone. We're excited to have you here. A lot going on all around the country and all around the world. And I'm smiling this morning because Tish James is very likely going to prison. Okay. I'm not going to oversell you on it, but it's possible. It's possible. We've never been this close before. So that brings a smile to my face because she is one of the most horrible politicians we've ever seen in the history of New York. And so to see her being held accountable brings joy to my heart, brings a lot of joy to my heart. Today, we're going to be joined by Joseph McBride. He's a criminal defense attorney. He's going to sound off on all things Tish James this morning. Plus, we're also going to be joined later in the program by James O'Keefe, who's going to break down his latest report about a U.S. diplomat who apparently was dating someone with close ties to the CCP. And this diplomat openly saying to James, yeah, maybe like the person I was dating, maybe she was also a CCP spy. Well, he's since been fired and now the CCP is actually being public with that. They're delivering comment on that now, which is quite strange. So James is expected to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. Steve Baker also joining the program too to break down his latest report regarding the pipe bomber. Yeah, he has not stopped covering that. He is digging and digging into that story. And so although we had him on the show earlier in the week, we're going to bring him back into the show because he's got an update for us on that. We'll also be joined, of course, by Mark Mitchell later in the program as well. Mark's got some new polls for us over at Rasmussen Reports. So we're looking forward to that. So like, we've got a lot going on. So we're excited that you're all on board with us today. We're also keeping our eye at the White House right now because Melania Trump is expected to make an announcement at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. They've set up a podium for her. They've put out kind of like a little promo. So we'll see what it's all about. It could be regarding her documentary. It could be something else. She also just recently released new Christmas ornaments. I don't think that would be the presser, but we'll just keep our eye on it and make sure that it's something worth your time. We'll bring it to you. Also, President Donald Trump at 5 p.m. Eastern time today is going to be making an announcement. Again, we don't know what kind of announcement. We just know we're going to keep our eyes to that. And so we'll definitely bring you any information if it does come relevant to the show topics that we all cover on InfoWars, of course. So, folks, I want to keep you in the loop on everything that's going on right now. And in case you haven't heard, no one is above the law. That was the tone we've been told for a very, very long time. Tish James, in fact, going out there saying no one was above the law. And it wasn't just Tish James. It was all of her Democrats out there every day when they were going after Donald Trump. They wanted to take him off the campaign trail because they wanted to throw him in prison. Well, they all said no one was above the law. So something magical happened yesterday and they don't really like it. And they're pretending like all of a sudden now this is lawfare. But again, we've got the proof. They were all on board for going after their political opponents and taking them off the campaign trail and then touting that one-liner, no one is above the law. Take a listen in case you forgot.
No one is above the law.
Nobody's above the law.
No person is above the law.
No one 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 is above the law.
You're not above the law. You're not an elite. You're not untouchable. And so it's nice to see that the rule of law has returned.
Did you get that? No one is above law. Oh, I love it. Hold on. Actually, it's perfect because the loomer's right underneath it. Go away, you ghetto communist witch. We're so great. She's so great. It's true. You see, Tish James is a horrible person. She ran on the campaign commitment that she was going to go after Donald Trump, and she was trying her very best to make sure he didn't make his way back into the White House, not because she had a great political stance and she just thought that she could take him down because she was better than him. No, no, no. She just didn't like him. And because she is an evil communist witch, she went after him and tried her very best to drain him financially, take him off the campaign trail, and gave us this historic footage of her sitting behind him during his trial and pretending like all was fair. You see, now the tables have turned, and Tish James, who has actually allegedly committed a crime, is the one on the other side of that table. She is now going to be sitting in the defense seat, and it is a beautiful sight to see. Now, again, a lot of Democrats say this is selective prosecution. They want you to think that she is somehow, some way, being personally targeted because she's been just such a fighter for holding everyone equal under the law. Well, that's obviously a pile of garbage. And in clip two, Scott Jennings has no problem calling it out. Take a listen.
If Democrats like Slotkin are going to come out today and whine about selective prosecutions over Tish James, her entire career is built on the selective prosecution of one man. Now, I also believe what Elliot said. There's a process here. Everybody gets their day in court. Obviously, a grand jury saw enough evidence to bring charges. We don't know what they are, but a grand jury looked at this and says, okay, there's something here. She gets to go to court just like Comey, just like anyone else. But to me, it's just not going to fly to boo-hoo over selective prosecutions on this particular person who promised in her campaigns, who went after him on things, as Jonah said, that had no business ever happening if not but for the man's last name being Trump. So I'm not gonna.
How is that not a two wrongs make a right argument?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying she gets her day in court. I'm saying a grand jury saw enough evidence to bring charges, and I'm saying she gets to go to court and tell her side of the story.
She will have her day in court, and she will get to tell her side of the story. This is the really important part in all of this, folks. I want you to remember, New York knew this day was coming because obviously Tish James is a criminal. And so they put aside $10 million for her to dive into to fund her legal defense. What does that mean? Well, essentially, if you're a taxpayer, you're the one coughing up the cash to defend Tish James on a private manner. On a private manner. Okay, these allegations, from according to reports, are all in regards to fraud related to a mortgage that she had apparently signed for in Virginia. Now, CNN, I was listening to CNN, and it's obviously a dumpster fire, so I try my very best to not bring forward their clips for you guys, because you can only handle so much in the morning. But CNN was doing their very best impression on trying to pretend like this is all normal. But the government doesn't go after people for lying on their mortgages. Well, folks, I remember when President Trump was trying to run for president, when they immediately, as soon as he actually left the White House after his first term, they launched investigation after investigation after investigation. And the federal government wanted to put him in prison for what? Over 80 years. They leaked his taxes. They did so much to that man. So now Tish James wants to play victim. Democrats, I was listening to Democrats in New York City yesterday. Also, another unbearable soundbite we won't even play for you. All of them think they're Martin Luther King Jr. when they give their speeches, of course. Even the white guy, who's the controller in New York, he sits there and pretends like, this is outrageous. Tish James is defending the Constitution. No, she's not. No, she's not. Tish James is a communist pig. And unfortunately, we're going to have to pay, if she does go to prison, for food expenses, which is going to be very, very hefty on top of those criminal defense attorney fees. Folks, enough is enough. Big Tish has to pay for her own legal defense. That should be what's going on here. But New York Democrats, and this is the difference between Democrats and Republicans, because Republicans will allow you to drain all your finances to fight back on lawfare. Democrats, even though they know they did something wrong, will sit there and make sure that others take on that financial burden so you aren't personally dealing with that. Democrats never abandon their own. You're also seeing it in the candidate race over in Virginia for AG. And you know what's insane? Nancy Pelosi sat back and was like, he's the best we got. So they continue to push these people. They don't turn their backs. They don't turn their backs on their own. And that is the big difference here. So it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see because they had no problem coming out in front of the cameras and doing press conferences and defending Tish James yesterday when they didn't even know what the charges were. She's innocent. She's being targeted. No, you haven't seen anything. This was a leaked report. Difference between Democrats and Republicans. All right, but it's also important to note that Tish James, and we're kind of like going through everything, Tish James is just so hard-headed that she has really been hyper-focused on going after Trump. And we all know this. We all know this. In many instances, she's actually, I mean, obviously we saw the lawsuit. She's also gathered other state AGs to go after President Trump. She's literally led coalitions to go after the president of the United States because she doesn't like him. She ran on it. It was her campaign promise. She was going to put people in prison in his administration, in his family. She literally tried to seize Trump Tower. You don't need any more proof that this woman is a communist. And again, she did her very best to pursue that $486 million judgment against Trump, his family, and the organization. Again, held that little civil trial. For what? And it was all at the expense of taxpayers. This is what's so crazy, right? All these people are going to be up for re-election very, very soon. And not enough people are going to be out here talking about it, addressing any of these issues, or calling them out. They're going to get re-elected, likely. And it's not, and don't blame Long Island, don't blame upstate New York. They all try their best. It's the liberals living in New York City holding everyone else in New York State hostage with these hacks. She has just time and time again gone after the president. And she's not even hiding it. We're going to play clip three for you because clip three, and it's so unbearable. I try to like clip around it because Joy Reid just doesn't shut up. But in clip three, Tish James is literally mapping out how she's going to, the day that President Trump gets out of the White House, go after him. Take a listen.
Our civil suit will continue, whether he's president or not. And so after January 20th at 12 o'clock, our investigation will continue, Joy.
Oh, what a smile. What a smile. You know, she's actually more attractive there than she has been in recent days. And I think this has just made her really ugly. Both inside and out, obviously. But when you sit here and you're hyper-focused on another man and you're going after him and you're just filled with so much hate and rage, it ages you. If you notice, most of the women who suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, they don't get any prettier. One of the, must be one of the side effects of all of this, is that it eats away at you internally, but it also makes you really ugly. Something with her eyes. They just seem to be getting more cross as the years go on. You know, Mike Davis, good friend of mine, great human being, great patriot. Mike Davis, he's been calling for this forever. I actually texted Mike yesterday to congratulate him because he has been one of the main people making sure that Big Tish is held accountable. There you go. The Big Tish indictment is airtight. He deserves a victory lap. This guy has been on it for a very long time. He's been calling it out. And he gave her a great big nickname, I must say. Also, someone else who deserves credit, Mr. Ed Martin. You see, when Ed Martin went in front of Tish James's Brooklyn home and was looking around, she knew what was up. She knew the takedown was coming soon. Ed Martin, patriot, a great fighter. Someone we should all keep in our prayers because he is one of the very few people over at the DOJ who is out there fighting for the American people and fighting to hold these communists accountable. He's one of the big leaders behind the accountability tour. They'll call it a revenge tour, but it is the accountability tour. And it's being led by incredible patriots like Ed Martin. So Tish James, although she'll sit back and she'll say that she's being targeted, she's the victim of all of this. Remember, she went aggressively hard and even fundraised off of the promise that she was going to take down President Trump, and she's failed. And she's failed. You see, now she's trying to make crime sound normal. Everyone does this. Democrats are coming to her fence literally saying that. Who in America doesn't lie when they're trying to obtain a mortgage from a bank to get lower rates? We all do it. And even if it's true on the left, given the fact that there's a lot of people now accused of it, likely going to be indicted next, maybe Adam Schiff, a long laundry list of others, of course. So it might be normal on the left to lie when trying to obtain a mortgage. But if you were conservative and tried to lie while obtaining a mortgage, well, you'd go to prison and they'd probably put you in solitary confinement. So Big Tish, we hope that you enjoy your day in court. We hope there's somehow, some way that President Trump could stop taxpayer money from being funneled to her criminal defense team. Taxpayers shouldn't have to feel that burden, take on $10 million to fight off her private matter. It's a private matter. Something she did in her personal life, not in her position as AG. I don't know, maybe cut off federal funding for a little bit. That needs to happen. She needs to go to prison. You don't sit there and destroy our country with lawfare and think you're not going to prison. All right, let's turn to some more positive news. President Trump obviously leading the way on that peace agreement that's happening between both Israel and Hamas. Now, obviously, this agreement's not really kind of being made public. The details are starting to trickle out. But yesterday during a press conference, Israel admitting that they're going to have to hand over 250 terrorists who were sentenced to life in prison to Hamas in exchange for about 20 hostages, their final 20 hostages that they've been holding. And it's also going to also include those who have lost their lives. Sadly, they will be getting their bodies back. Their families will be getting their bodies back. That is the agreement so far. Now, this will pan out throughout the weekend. We'll keep our eye on it, of course. But this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And in fact, those who are in the Gaza region are excited about all of this. And in clip four, they're letting the world know who they actually give credit for this peace agreement. Take a listen. I don't think that was Gaza. It didn't look like it. But hey, listen, these are people who know who is the one who did all of this. You have to wonder, those who were so aggressive in that pro-Palestinian movement, what do they do now? What's their take now? Because obviously they're radical far lefties. But if their cause truly was to end this war, President Trump just did that for you. Will you admit that he's the best president that we've ever seen in our lifetimes? He's ended countless wars at this point. I think he's well over 8. Joe Biden didn't even care. Joe Biden just continues to funnel money. And of course, not Joe Biden directly. It's whoever's behind him, of course. But keep that in mind. President Trump laid out a commitment. In clip five, top Hamas leaders are also declaring that the war is over for good. Take a listen.
We have received guarantees from the mediators and also from the U.S. administration confirming, all of them, that the war has ended permanently.
So the war has ended permanently. And yesterday I actually reached out to the DOD because there was a report by the AP and they got it wrong that U.S. troops were being sent to Israel to help finalize all of this. It turns out AP was wrong. And that's why I didn't post it, because I had a feeling this didn't sound right. So just to clarify, by the way, guys, the DOD says that it's not sending over troops. It's sending over personnel to help make sure and solidify that the deal actually goes through and both sides do carry out their commitment. So that's important to note. It's also important to note that Israel is withdrawing its troops as well. IDF is going to have to withdraw to a certain agreed upon point. And so that is also one of the many things that are coming from all of this, which I think is very, very important. So the IDF soldiers are going to be pulling back. Again, this is one of the many terms to the agreement that they have apparently agreed upon. And both sides look like they have negotiated in good faith. Now, President Trump is even more optimistic. He's not stopping at Israel and Hamas. In clip six, he tells you what's next on his agenda. Take a listen.
And forth. So I know one thing. I don't know what they're going to do, really. But I know this, that nobody in history has solved 8 wars in a period of 9 months. And I've stopped 8 wars. So that's never happened before. But they'll have to do what they do. Whatever they do is fine. I know this. I didn't do it for that. I did it because I saved a lot of lives. And that's the thing that bothers me so much about the Russia-Ukraine. 7,000 people are dying a week. Young soldiers, they're almost all soldiers of Ukraine and Russia. So in theory, it doesn't affect us, no, but it's a terrible thing. And we'll get that solved, too. But nobody has ever done 8 wars. Nobody's done 8 wars in 30 years, let alone 9 months.
It's quite impressive. One would say probably something that would get you the Nobel Peace Prize if we were living in sane times. No, he didn't get that, though, folks. Of course not. Instead, it did go to the opposition leader in Venezuela. But President Trump not receiving that, even though he ended the war between, obviously, ending the war between Israel and Hamas, the other war in Armenia, Egypt, Thailand, Israel and Iran. It was a 12-day war, if you want to count that. The Congo, India versus Pakistan, obviously, that was just a couple of days long, more of a clash, and Serbia. So again, folks, he's garnished a long list of peace deals that he's been able to hammer out. You know, I know everyone's sounding off about him not getting the Nobel Peace Prize. It's never been credible since, what, 2009 when Barack Hussein Obama won it. So what are we really over here arguing about? Let it go. We know he's better than everyone else. We know that he's ended more wars, forced two countries that hate each other to get to the table and discuss and come up with an agreement that doesn't lead to more bloodshed. Even the Nobel Peace Prize is corrupt. These are what the people were really up against, folks. And it's really bad because in clip seven, and it's getting bad for me because John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, actually sounds like he's making sense. Take a listen.
Do you think the president deserves a Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, I mean, if this sticks, I think the whole point of having a Nobel Peace Prize is for ending wars and promoting peace. And I'm going to make a direct appeal to the president. You know, I hope he chooses to provide the tomahawks to the Ukrainians too, and give them the tools that they need to push back against the Russia. And if he brings the Ukrainian war to its end, I'll be the Democrat leading the committee for his Nobel Prize peace for ending both of these terrible wars.
You hear that? Fetterman is going to lead that way. All right, folks, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have a great sale going on right now. And when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us stay on air. Right now, we have 1 week left in the big giveaway. We're giving away cars. And every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you win a chance of getting one of these sick rides. So head on over there right now. Enter by making a purchase and supporting our work, of course, over at thealexjonesstore.com. More underway. Just a quick ride joining me in just a moment.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me. Because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, we'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition for veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
No matter how powerful you are, no matter how much money you think you may have, no one is above the law.
No one is above the law. That's Big Tish letting you guys know that there is just a one tier of justice in this country. Oh, yeah. Yeah, did you not get the memo? Well, apparently Democrats are now sounding off because they're upset and are calling this lawfare. But according to reports, she has been indicted. And it is a glorious, glorious day to celebrate, because that woman is an evil woman. She's literally made her whole political career, the main focus is just to go after President Trump. And she's gathered together a group of state AGs to do just that over the last few years. But now she's filing on the other side of all of this. And although Democrats will tell you it's normal to commit mortgage fraud and the federal government is to go after Americans when they do just that, it's not normal. In fact, if you or I were to commit mortgage fraud, they'd put you in solitary confinement and throw away the key. So while Big Tish is going to pretend like everything's A-OK and there was no crimes committed here, the reality is the law is very, very clear. And as our good friend Mike Davis has said, it's an airtight case. It's an airtight case. And while she'll sit there and pretend like, that's not the case, we're here to tell you it is. It is. Joining me to discuss is Joseph McBride. He is a criminal defense attorney, and he's with us now to break down all things Tish James, plus a little bit more, of course. McBride, thank you for joining the show. I appreciate you being here. All right, I just want to get your initial reaction to the fact that Big Tish was indicted, because this is big news.
Yeah, it is big news. Look, she weaponized the justice system against Donald Trump for years. She campaigned against it. When Donald Trump was running for the highest office in the land, she made it a point to go after him with the full force of the law. She made no apologies about it. Everybody knew that what she was doing was wrong. And now, look, it's no surprise that somebody who behaves like that, somebody who weaponizes her office and who weaponizes the law against innocent people, is and probably has committed mortgage fraud. When you look at the documentary evidence, it's pretty clear. She lied. And when you lie on papers and you put your signature on legal documents, and if you financially gain, financially benefit from it, you're on the hook. You're on the hook as a normal person, never mind somebody who has one of the highest offices in New York State. It's wrong what she did to Donald Trump. She thinks that she can use the law as a tool to suit her own needs, to suit her own agenda. This is the chickens coming home to roost, and I, for one, am glad that it's happening.
Yeah, we're all glad it's happening because all of these Democrats think they're immune. And I know that they, you know, did, well, specifically her, I know she did all the things that she did to go after Trump for her political party to advance them and to make sure that would clear the field on whoever was running at the time against Donald Trump. I mean, obviously it was Joe Biden, then it was Kamala Harris, obviously not the strongest candidates. So they needed their advantage, whenever they could get it. And so they wanted to keep him busy and off the campaign trail with all of the lawfare attempts. And she was the big one leading them. She was even literally having individuals go to the White House and have meetings there. So this is like a big, big issue. And now she's sitting here pretending like it's unfair. I was listening to Democrats in New York City sound off, and all of them thought they were giving speeches like they were civil rights leaders. But the reality of it is the law is very, very clear. And if you lie on a mortgage loan, you are in trouble. And so there's really no double standard there. There shouldn't be a double standard there. Everyone should be held accountable. And although they're pretending like it's normal, I mean, maybe it is for those on the left, right? Because Adam Schiff is also under investigation for very similar allegations that are being made right now. And it's not just him, it's others I'm hearing. So this is a big, big story. But when you look at all the court filings so far, I was a little taken back, McBride, because it looks like the DOJ isn't requiring for her to be arrested, that they're just going to kind of allow her to take a stroll into court, just like they did earlier this week, sadly, with Comey as well. What's your reaction for those Americans who are kind of a little disappointed because they really wanted that perp walk?
Yeah, you know, look, the perp walk in an ideal world when, you know, you want to compare her to other people, sure, we all want it. But at the end of the day, in the federal criminal justice system and in justice system as a whole, generally in these situations, you don't see a perp walk. This is something that we saw an increase in when Donald Trump was under investigation and was being sued left, right, and center. They made a spectacle of the justice system, right? They wanted him to look guilty. Everything that they did against him was designed to use the process as the punishment, to defame him, to slander him, to give him the appearance of guilt before he ever even stepped into the courtroom. So while, look, sure, the mob wants blood and the mob wants a perp walk, I get it. But the proper thing to do is to say, look, this is a nonviolent crime. She's not a danger to herself. She's not a danger to others. She's not going to jump on a plane and go to Morocco and evade going to court. So normally in these situations, what you do is you play it just like this. The perp walk would be rare. So while I appreciate the sentiment and the desire, I share the desire to see her want to be perp walked as a Republican who has lived the last 10 years, right? The proper thing to do is to make sure that we don't just use this as a spectacle, that we use the law to really hammer her for her wrongdoing. Because at the end of the day, the conviction and the perp walk is what's much more important.
Yeah, no, it is much more important. And we're going to keep our eye on that because I think most Americans are hoping for a mugshot or something in this. I mean, they were so aggressive. They wanted to get President Trump's mugshot out there in Fulton County when they didn't have a case. And so we'll see as that unravels. But I also have a question for you regarding legal fees, because we know Democrats in New York State, they tried their very best, and they have successfully done it so far, to push to use taxpayer money to fund her criminal defense fees. According to those who have read through it, it apparently provides at least $10 million in fees that she could latch onto to hire a legal team. What should the federal government do to push back on that? Because these accusations that are being made in court right now have nothing to do with what she was doing as AG. This is all about when she was in the private fields working as, or just as a citizen, I should say. So what can the federal government do to push back on that?
It's hard to say. When you look at what happened again, you juxtapose against Donald Trump. They wanted to take away his presidential privilege, immunity. They wanted to backdate all that stuff and to strip him of the powers of his office post facto, right? Well, when you're in office, the government does give you certain protections. I think that in New York State, the government's going to support her to the fullest extent that it can. It's going to be unlikely that we win that battle. I don't think that that's the hill that we should die on. We can go for those attorney's fees later on and figure it out. And if New York State has to indemnify her, then so be it. I think that what we need to do is we need to focus on the facts here. And we don't want her to be in a position where she can say, look, I couldn't afford a fair defense. I didn't get a fair defense. I was litigating against the federal government with an unlimited budget. They took my ability to defend myself away from me. We don't want no excuses. If she's guilty, and it looks like she very well, in fact, may be, we want her to lose on the merits of her case, absent excuse. We don't want to give her an appealable issue. So, well, again, I get it. I think the best thing to do is just get her into court and have the fair fight, applying fact to law in front of a jury.
Yeah, no, we'll see how that all plays out. I want to get your take on something else as well, McBride, because I think it's really important to discuss what happened earlier this week. Chuck Grassley's office outing the Biden regime and Jack Smith for targeting lawmakers, GOP senators specifically. Eight of them apparently had their call records subpoenaed by Smith. Now, it's really, really interesting, the list, because some of them, I would say, are MAGA. Some of them really aren't. And so I think a lot of them never thought that the government would go after them because they were kind of down the middle on a lot of these issues. But, you know, we spoke to Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's on that list. And this is what his reaction was in regards to what the penalty should be for Jack Smith.
Along with Marsha Blackburn, we've talked about trying to have Jack Smith disbarred. Why in the world would this guy have a lawyer's license? Be able to do anything when he's just out there fishing, trying to get President Trump and trying to just go out there and just throwing a net over a bunch of senators saying we might be able to get something here. Well, that's stupid.
So that's what Tuberville thinks should be the solution here. Is there more that can be done? Because it wasn't just, and I just don't want them to say that because they're senators, that that's the reason why there should be some type of, you know, consequences for his behavior. But they did this to average Americans, and I hate using the word average, but Americans who just, as you know, because you've defended them, who were just strolling through the Capitol region on January 6th for a legal protest. They spied on them. They surveilled them. They went after them. And not much was done. I remember reaching out on several of these cases and reaching out for comments, and nobody else was doing anything to defend them, Republicans even, getting very quiet on the issue. But Jack Smith is one of the many individuals who targeted their political opponents and had no problem doing that. So is disbarring Jack Smith enough?
Look, Jack Smith should be in jail, as far as I'm concerned. What he did, well, first off, during the whole January 6th saga, we all know that he was Merrick Garland and Joe Biden's lapdog. He weaponized the judicial process in a way that we have never seen before. Mass surveillance, complete violation of people's constitutional rights, their Fourth Amendment reasonable expectation of privacy under federal and state laws in many circumstances. And now we are finding out, no surprise, that he was surveilling congressmen and senators as well. They left no stone unturned in their ability to violate every law in order to achieve a political end. And that was when you had the Biden party in power. It was the opposition party hunting down people who disagreed with them because of their politics in order to snuff them out, in order to stomp them out. And they sent the message during the January 6th era that if you disagreed with us, we will put you in jail. We will debank you. We will get you canceled. We will leave no stone unturned in trying to ruin your life. And this is the paper trail of that. This is the evidence that we all knew. We all knew this was happening, but this is proof positive of it. And to your point, yes, like, look, this did happen to the average person. The average American citizen had to deal with it all the time. But as you know, unfortunately, the powers that be normally don't care until it affects them. Now that it's affecting people in some of the most highest offices of the land, I sincerely hope that they use this as a wake-up call to go after him, to not only disbar him, to put him in jail. He deserves to be in jail. What he did is criminal. What he did is anti-American. What he did is illegal. He should be in jail. He should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for what he did.
McBride, also, I know there was another question during all of this, whether Jack Smith had the authority to even investigate President Trump. Was that ever settled?
It was never settled. He absolutely did not have the authority. The whole thing about the commission and the way that he was appointed, it was all bunk. It was all garbage. Okay, it was a shotgun proceeding. They did everything, you know, in the 11th hour of the night in order to put him in a position of power that he never should have been in. This is a guy who was litigating for years in the International Criminal Court. They put him here in order to go after political opponents with no accountability. He should be in jail. And the people who that supported him, the people that put him, they should be investigated. And now is the time to do it. Look, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. The shoe is on the other foot. And, you know, the day of reckoning is upon them. President Trump and his administration and the people who are in the Department of Justice, like Pam Bondi, should leave no stone unturned in pursuing these people. We need results. We need results for what took place, for what took place in this country against American citizens and against members of our own government. This needs to happen now. They should do it aggressively. They should use the law the right way to get it done and to make sure that they get the right results in the end.
Yeah, no, they should. And that's what we're hoping for. And that's what the American people voted for as well. McBride, before you go, I wanted to also get your take on news that dropped yesterday. Senator Eric Schmidt is actually pushing for the Secretary of State, Mark Rubio, to declare Antifa as a foreign terrorist organization. Now, this is key because they're communists who have taken over places in Europe, and Europeans have just allowed them to do just that. They have terrorized those who live in the area, and they're violent. And so it's interesting to see now that there's this open discussion about possibly doing that. Your thoughts?
Antifa is an international terrorist organization. I've known this for years. I made records about Antifa in 2021 in Washington, D.C. federal court and district court, only to have judges tell me that Antifa was a myth that didn't exist. Antifa is a purposefully decentralized militant organization. Why are they decentralized? Because if you cut the head off of something that's centralized, the whole thing fails. But if it's decentralized, it just keeps popping up like a hydra all over the place. This is purposeful in order to evade detection and in order to evade prosecution. But we know that Antifa comes out like a single homogenous unit. Protests across the world, attacking government officials across the world, showing up at Supreme Court Justice's house, assassination attempts, whatever it is. They are funded by an international network of people who hate this country from the inside and from the outside. The only way to track them down is through the money trail. And once they're designated an international terrorist organization, if you support that organization, it's material support. You go to jail. If you use your, if Chase or Citibank or Bank of America or any of these people platform them, allow them to do their banking, they go to jail. They need to cut their accounts off, prevent them from banking, so on and so forth. Once they are designated an international terror organization, the amount of pressure the American government can put on them and the institutions that support them is massive. It is unprecedented. This is what it needs to take place in order to crush this organization. Marking them and labeling them as an international terror organization is the only way to go. Once that happened, it'll be 6 months to a year before the organization collapses from the inside out. And also the people who have been supporting them, the dark George Soros's over the world, you'll be able to find out exactly who's been doing this, exactly who's been behind it, exactly who's been calling the shots and doing all these horrible things to hurt people in our streets, to threaten people in our government, to purposely destabilize our country while being backed by billionaires across the world. It's a terror organization by people who hate America. It should be shut down. They should be designated an international terror organization. And I sincerely hope that President Trump crushes the absolute life out of them because they deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. We all hope that. We truly do, because they are a horrible group of people who are doing their very best to destroy this country, but they won't win. Joseph McBride, thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you for all of your insight. Folks at home, give him a follow on X at McBride Law NYC. That's at McBride Law NYC. Thank you for joining us today, sir. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you.
All right, folks, I want to talk a little bit about, let's say, Barack Obama. Barack Obama obviously won the Nobel Peace Prize back in 2009. And, nobody really knows why. Nobody knows why. And in clip 9, we're going to play for you, President Trump kind of lets the American people know why he thinks President Obama, or the former President Obama, I should say, won that award. Take a listen.
Exactly. Obama got a prize. He didn't even know what he got. He got elected, and they gave it to Obama for doing absolutely nothing but destroying our country. No, he was not a good president. The worst president was Sleepy Joe Biden. But Obama was not a good president.
Are you going to do something with the Hezbollah?
They gave him a prize. How many months after he won the election, then they gave the Peace Prize, right?
It was right
before he was elected.
My election was a much more important election.
Oh, he has a great point there. He has a very great point there. It's also worth noting that Barack Obama was tweeting about the peace deal that was made so far, the first phase, I should say, between Israel and Hamas. And he gives you this lengthy statement, throwing a little shade here and there, but fails to mention who's behind the peace deal. I mean, everyone's giving credit. Even Hamas is giving Donald Trump credit. But Barack Obama, huh, he can't do that. Can't do that. No. Not surprising, of course. As many of you guys know, he's divisive. He hates his country. And he's not a friend or an ally to any of us. This is a very evil man who does not want peace. He doesn't want to celebrate these victories. In fact, we all know this, and I don't know how he even was able to win the Nobel Peace Prize, but it highlights how corrupt it is from the core. So again, President Trump having no problem calling it out. We're very thankful for that. He's actually going to be heading over, apparently, it's worth noting too, to Egypt, possibly this weekend. Now, again, that's not 1,000% verified, but that is the plan. And he's looking forward to making sure that this carries through. Now, again, this is very, very interesting, of course, and we'll continue to follow it as it develops. Speaking of that, too, wanted to make sure we got this update for all of you, because I know a lot of us were looking at the Palisades fires and that story about the suspect who was arrested, the 29-year-old that was arrested. The New York Post actually did some digging, and they found something very, very interesting. All right, get ready to be shocked. Apparently, according to his social media posts, he really wasn't a Trump supporter. But most importantly, he would often post about global warming and its role in wildfires. On Facebook, he shared content about environmental collapse, ridiculed President Donald Trump and his supporters, and advocated for people to become vegans. What a face. What a face. One of his Facebook posts, which was included in this New York Post article, is about climate change will force a new American migration. Huh. Now, again, I haven't seen any concrete evidence showing that he is the main person behind all of this. According to the criminal court records, he used AI-generated images. That's what the DOJ used against him, that fiery image you saw there. They also said that he asked ChatGPT. Got it finally. He asked them questions in regards to accidentally setting a wildfire with a cigarette. They also say that he was kind of in the region. So again, we're going to wait to see what comes of that, but global warming, it's just another death blow to the left's agenda when it comes to pushing their false lies about the green scam. And again, a lot of these people, yeah, here's another one too. He was a big supporter of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Surprise, surprise. I'd love to see his chat logs. I'm sure those will be interesting if I get a hold of those. I'm sure he wasn't in any far left group chats. Maybe Discord. Again, nothing confirmed yet. This is fresh. I'm going to continue to follow it though, of course, because this is what we expected. When I was sitting back and I'm watching the live shots and like, oh, here goes a wildfire happening here. And all of the media outlets knew exactly where to put their cameras. And they set their choppers up. And you'd see these little brush ups all of a sudden ignite. None of it was organic, apparently. And would we have made this arrest if it was a different DOJ? True question worth getting some answers on. Because now all of a sudden Gavin Newsom is like, oh, we're going to build affordable housing. And before they told you that even in Hawaii that wasn't the case? They weren't doing any of that? So what are the odds that they burned down intentionally thousands and thousands of acres so they could build up affordable housing? Not surprising. Not surprising at all. Folks, do you remember that story we talked about earlier in the week regarding that murderer who was recently released after he had killed a 6-year-old boy in his home? This is back in Kentucky. He was declared to be mentally unstable for court, obviously, so they decided to not give him a stiff penalty. And unfortunately, due to good behavior, as they said, he was released early. Well, Florida doesn't mess around. And we just learned of an update. He's recently arrested for not registering as a convicted felon when he came to the state. And now, right now, we've got the mugshot, actually. He's being sent back to Kentucky. He's released early after being sentenced to 20 years. But a lot of that wasn't spent actually in a prison, from my understanding. It was actually spent receiving mental health services. It was outrageous when he was released, obviously causing national outrage. The DOJ even is saying that they're going to be looking into this guy. But the great state of Florida swept right in and arrested him for not registering as a convicted felon. And apparently, according to allegations, he was living very close, and they found him, to an elementary school. You see, when we tell you the criminal justice system has more empathy for actual criminals rather than the victims, we mean it. There's no justification for releasing that man. Good behavior. What's good behavior? He took a knife and he stabbed a child in the head. A 6-year-old child. One of the many awful human beings we have living amongst us. And the fact that they sat here and freed that man is disgrace. But thankfully, we have an administration that's not playing around. The DOJ now going after him, it looks like. They might be investigating. We'll see how that plays out. Hopefully, they can land a charge. But then the state of Florida not messing around either. I want to bring you a report regarding two FBI agents who were allegedly recently fired. And if you're wondering why they were fired, well, let me explain. They were fired because apparently they were working on Jack Smith's probe. Again, this is all according to reports, so the FBI will not tell you directly. I'll bring you more in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexshowstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs in the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original Infowars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the Infowar, and I salute you all.
We're keeping our eye over in the White House because Melania Trump is expected to begin speaking in about an hour. She apparently has a major announcement she's making. And then at 5 p.m. Eastern time today, President Trump also making a big announcement from the Oval Office. So we'll keep our eyes glued to that. We're also keeping our eyes glued to a lot of other things. Steve Baker will be joining me in about 5 minutes. Baker has the latest report regarding the pipe bomber. And that story is not going anywhere anytime soon. Baker not letting that go. He's digging for answers, and that's why we have him joining the program today, so I'm excited about that. There was also two FBI agents, who have been fired regarding their investigation with Jack Smith. So we'll give you the latest on that, too, with Baker as well. I want his reaction because, obviously, he knows all things FBI, so that'll be good to have on with him. I'll also be joined by James O'Keefe later in the program as well. Now, James has just done an explosive report regarding a diplomat who apparently has dated in the past a woman who admitted that she had some ties to the CCP. Well, that diplomat's been fired, but the CCP is delivering comment on his story, so he'll be joining us later in the program to discuss. Now, we also yesterday did some brief overview on the 2020 census and how it's the theft of American voices when it comes to having representation in Washington, D.C. It also steals, obviously, your taxpayer money. So, interesting enough, there's more to the story in regards to the big failures back in 2020, and it was actually being called out in 2022, but of course, not much being done in that front. We'll be joined in a little as well with an attorney who's been hyper-focused on that issue and kind of digging through all of the reports, plus Mark Mitchell joining the show later in the program as well. So lots of things going on. Let's talk a little bit about the FBI, because the FBI has apparently just fired. And again, the FBI can never directly confirm it because it's personnel information. So you're going based on reports. The FBI has fired two agents involved in former special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into Donald Trump. On Monday, the committee, which released those unclassified documents showing the phone records that were released when they were trying to go after those eight senators. Well, apparently those FBI agents that were involved in that have now since been fired, two of them so far. We don't know if that's going to expand. They apparently were the ones investigating Arctic Frost. So again, good news. I mean, the FBI director, Kash Patel, saying that he is looking, obviously, to get rid of all of these people. Oh, and it looks like he actually did confirm. So he confirmed with Fox News that they were actually terminated. But again, they don't give you names. They don't give you details. They don't give you if there was an agreement. You know, when I talk to those who handle whistleblower cases in D.C. for agencies, they always say don't fire them. Don't fire them, because when you fire them, they have a legal case to go up against you and to actually fight you in civil court. But instead, you just put them on an unpaid suspension like they did to the other whistleblowers for years, and you ice them out that way. And they said that's the punishment. It looks like Kash Patel not taking them up on that offer, though, and going to continue to firing employees. But you know, that would be their suggestion that they've, according to one person I spoke to, that they actually did have made in the past. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see. Kash Patel not messing around when it comes to those who are politically biased, who are leading in the lawfare attacks. And again, that was a promise he made, him and Deputy Director Dan Bongino. So we're excited about that. Give credit when credit's due, and that was a commitment that they made, and so far it looks like they're living up to that. Now again, there's been several things, especially letting Elvis Chan, who was the guy who was the FBI agent who was running around censoring Americans, going after social media companies and telling them that they have to censor Americans. Well, according to my source, I broke that story for you exclusively. He wasn't fired, and he's now going to receive his retirement benefits. Of course, they allowed him to do that, so not all good news. But at least they're trying, so we'll take a win when we can at this point. All right, a lot going on that we're going to dig into. Of course, Steve Baker joining me in just a few moments. Let me remind you all to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. There's an incredible giveaway going on right now. You can win a sick ride, and every time you make a purchase, you get an extra ticket to enter into this contest. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. When you head on over, you support us, and we greatly appreciate it when you do. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now.
Why don't ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Oh,
because you showed
that,
up.
Is that the way to
you
talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right
a
now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and gear. Promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the second hour with a lot to dive into, so I'm excited that you're all here with us. Of course, we're going to be taking your calls in this hour, so give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We are taking your calls. There's something on your mind, a story that we haven't talked about. Maybe you're interested in talking about it for a little bit. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. But we kind of wanted to stay on topic. So current news that's in the media right now, that's what we're looking to discuss. Okay, so give me a call. All right, a lot going on in the world today. Like I said, FBI agents are being fired, and rightfully so. Those who participated in Arctic Frost apparently getting canned this week. Even Cash Patel confirming that two FBI agents were fired. Joining me to discuss is Steve Baker. He's one of the incredible reporters over at The Blaze. We're excited to have him on the show again this week because, you know, Steve, normally we don't do the whole twice in 1 week thing, but because right. You've been dropping bombshells, my friend, we've got you back on. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brown.
Thank you for joining me. All right. So I wanted to get your initial reaction because obviously you cover everything regarding the FBI as well. So Cash Patel has confirmed, the FBI director has confirmed that he has canned now two agents. And they were all involved in the Arctic Frost investigation with Jack Smith. So what's your reaction to that one?
I'm glad to see it. I mean, we want to see a lot more of it. He's going to have to do a whole lot more firings in order to turn that seventh floor or that entire Hoover building into a museum to the deep state. Yeah. But, you know, there's a long way to go to clean out the FBI, unfortunately, from what we understand. And look, this is me giving to Cash and Dan, if I can be so informal, giving them a lot of grace is that they have their work cut out for them. It's a very difficult job. The agency or the bureau is incredibly infiltrated. There is an entrenched cult-like culture there to the deep state, and I would say probably from estimates that I get from, you know, the various people from the intelligence community that comment about FBI is that there's probably 60%+ of FBI employees, that's over, you know, 37,000 employees-ish, that some 60%+ are actively working against them.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't necessarily relieve them of all the missteps or, you know, that they've made along the way, but these are positive things that we're seeing. We're very excited to see these layoffs of these types of guys because hopefully they're the right ones that need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they've got their work cut out for them. It's not easy because, you know, Democrats knew exactly how to weaponize these agencies and strategically put their key players in key roles. And it's going to take a very long time to purge all these people out of the FBI. So we look forward to keeping our audience in the with the updates regarding just that. But that's not the only thing we're talking about today, Steve. You've also released another great report that's up right now over at The Blaze. It's in regards to the pipe bomber, which a lot of people aren't talking about anymore. But you're still fresh on that trail. What's the latest that you're learning?
Well, this is an incredible story because this story is about, let me characterize it this way. You know how during the January 6th investigations, the FBI was using an entire class of internet sleuths that they referred to and referred to themselves as the sedition hunters. Mm-hmm. And these were the people that were tracking down, you know, the grandmothers and identifying them. And not just the grandmothers, but they were doing internet investigations. They were identifying articles of clothing, trying to find them at other places in the Capitol without their, you know, their masks on because it was during the COVID era. And these professional and amateur, both, sleuths were assisting the FBI. And we even learned that these sleuths, some of them were paid. They were paid CHSs or confidential human sources of the FBI during this time. Not something that we were, you know, big fans of, but they did help also identify some of the more violent characters. And, this is the equal and opposite case. This particular guy who we identify, by his permission with his internet handle, which is Armitas. And we are not allowed to use his name yet, but, I came into acquaintance with Armitas probably about a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer. And his work has been so interesting that even the FBI has reached out to him back in March of this year. They started consulting with him on his work, and he began showing the FBI, his findings related to the pipe bomb mystery. And so he has an incredible attention to detail. He's admittedly, he's kind of a, you know, high functioning guy on the spectrum, but that allows him to focus on this with a, you know, in a way that, you know, other people can't, and has incredible attention to detail. He has spent thousands of hours on this, this case. And as a result of that, now the new committee, is interested in his work. And he actually got last week, an email from the Judiciary Committee, from an attorney at the Judiciary Committee, asking him to prepare a paper, synopsis of a book of his work. So he put together about a 26-page paper of all of his work on the pipe bomb, and he submitted that to the committee. He addressed it, even though it was requested by Judiciary, he addressed it directly to Barry Loudermilk's new subcommittee, which is the Select Subcommittee to Investigate January 6th. And of course, because of myself and Joe Hanneman's closeness that we've developed with this, this sleuth, over the last year plus, that he obviously gave us a copy of that as well. And that's what we built this story off of. But the key and most interesting revelations that he's discovered, it's been theorized, for a long time without having the kill shot on camera, that particularly at the DNC, that particular bomb was replaced, or it was never delivered or set down, next to that bench in the mulch area by the bushes, the night before. But it apparently, was broken at that time. And in all of these text and phone call communications that the hoodie bomber guy, 5'7" tall with a very distinctive pair of, you know, Nikes on, or she, we don't know, they, as he refers to him in his report, they did in fact, apparently, first of all, attempted to leave the bomb at the Congressional Black Caucus. Actually has the video of him placing the bomb there, but then retrieving it because apparently something broke off of the bomb when he laid it or put it down on the ground. And there were some pieces broken and left there. So he retrieved it from the Congressional Black Caucus building and then got on the phone again. And then apparently what it looks like to us now is that the DNC location was the backup location, or it was maybe an audible was called by whoever he was taking directions from that night. You notice I still refer to him as a he. But nevertheless, the other interesting aspect about this, which was a blockbuster discovery by Armitas, is it appears absolutely, well, you know, it's hard to say conclusive when you're looking at these videos from long range, these Capitol Police cameras all over D.C., but all around the Capitol buildings and the government buildings close to the Capitol. It seems almost conclusive that this bomb at the DNC was retrieved at about 4:40 in the morning, and then it was replaced, potentially repaired. But when it was replaced not in the same direction as it had been placed the night before. And Armitage was ever able to show that as well. So something between the 17 hours when it was originally left and the time it was discovered, it appears that it was replaced, and it wasn't replaced just perfectly as it was the night before. And so he also found that the same Capitol Police counter-surveillance team that discovered the bomb at about 1:05 at the DNC also seems to have discovered the missing pieces over at the Congressional Black Caucus. So the fact that that surveillance team was able to accidentally find both of those, you know, situations, it raises a lot of questions, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it raises a ton of questions. And the first thing I'm thinking is, why would they, I mean, I think I understand why, given the fact that this is the Biden administration, under the Biden administration, but targeting the Black Caucus seems, I mean, we could be a little, you know, we could speculate a little bit. Why do you think that was the case? Why was that the original plan?
Well, if you're going to create the narrative that the Capitol was stormed by a bunch of insurrectionist white supremacists, then that's the narrative that you do, is you go towards the Congressional Black Caucus to drop the bomb. Now, you use the fact that you put the other bomb behind the Capitol City Club there, which, of course, is a Republican private club, right next to the RNC itself. It was, we always say RNC and DNC, but the other bomb was not placed at the RNC. It was actually placed directly behind the Capitol City Club there, in that alleyway behind it. I've actually gotten out and walked the steps there in the alley that he took, or that we think he took. I went and exited through the gate into the church garden there. I did it on the 4th anniversary of January 6th, and there was a lot of snow on the ground in D.C. when I retraced his steps of this alleged bomber. But the other thing that is most curious to me, and one of the aspects of this, is this new revelation that shows that not only did we get the information about the corrupt geofencing cell phone data that most surely would have led directly to who this was, because he did use the phone several times, both to text and to place calls. And so this should have been captured.
Yeah.
And it was not data that was overwhelmed, because the crowd obviously did not show up until the next day. So you didn't have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people sucking down the cell phone cell systems bandwidth, there at, 7:30 on the night of the 5th. But you did have that, of course, during the day on the 6th. As the crowds increased, the more and less likely you were to be able to even use your phone. But of course, not only was there no crowds there that night, in the middle of the night, when all these other shenanigans were apparently taking place that Armitage has tracked and revealed, but they're saying, of course, that not only was the data corrupted, but that it was deleted. And then you have the problem of this network called FirstNet. And FirstNet is the company that has put together a system for first responders. And in fact, I was on just this past Monday, this week, Monday, I was sitting with a retired, highly decorated FBI agent, one of the most decorated FBI agents in the 100-plus-year history of the Bureau. And he was saying, oh, yeah, yeah, when I was in the Bureau, I carried a FirstNet card. And the reason for that is it gave them the codes and the access to get into first responders should cell systems become otherwise overwhelmed or incapacitated in some way, that this system is to provide quick and early access to our first responders. Well, apparently that data has been corrupted or missing as well. It just also is a unique coincidence that Carlin Younger, who found the bomb at the Capitol City Club, or RNC, as it's been said for 4.5 years, happened to be an employee for FirstNet at the time. So it's just another one of those coincidences.
Well, there seems to be a lot of coincidences, and I think it's absolutely fascinating as we kind of go through all of this. I think there's also a push. Well, there should be a push for accountability here, but also most importantly, I mean, you obviously are in talks with those in the committee assignment who have received this committee assignment. What are you hearing from them on all of this? Because they obviously just received all of this information now. Do they think that this is a smoking gun for them, or do they, like, where do they go from here?
Well, it's going to raise some more questions, and there are people that have already been interviewed, and I can talk about this, or there are things I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but there are people who have already been interviewed who need to be re-interviewed now that this information has come to light through Armitage's work. And then, of course, there are still some characters now that have been revealed by this. I mean, he's identified the characters who apparently moved the bomb and exchanged the bomb. There's a new car to follow and identify from his work. There's also still the lingering question as to why the FBI has never given us the 24-hour period of the DNC cameras. They've only released just a few seconds of those blurry, highly edited. They changed the frame rate down to one frame per second. They've changed and altered the aspect ratio. Yeah, the very one you're showing right there. There have been other alterations that, as Armitage claims, makes the video is no longer even operating and or is presented in real time anymore. And that those two cameras there at the DNC, where's the rest of the video? If we had the video of that very camera that we're seeing on the screen right now, we would be able to see the shenanigans that took place in the middle of the night and maybe be able to identify better who did what. But for 4.5 years, the FBI has never released those cameras to the public. We got access to the Capitol Police cameras. It's not the same batch. The Capitol Police cameras are held at the Capitol, or the videos rather are held at the Capitol, and they're made available by the generosity of the Speaker of the House through the committee itself. I'm sure that they'll probably be back available again here soon, once the committee gets up and running, for so we can get back in there and look at some of this more closely. But the bottom line is that set of cameras is still, or footage is still missing from the DNC cameras, and that solves everything. If they would release the footage from that full 24-hour period, we would know exactly why the bomb dogs the next morning missed that bomb. We would know exactly why the human sources that were going, and because we can see them from long-range cameras, Capitol Police cameras. We can see the Secret Service agents early in the morning doing their job of securing in that building and doing their walk-arounds and making sure everything was fine for the arrival of then Vice President-elect Kamala Harris when she would arrive at about 11:30 that morning.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
No, go, Steve. I'll let you finish.
So there's it's a great mystery, unless they're going to tell us that, oh, well, yeah, the rest of that footage was corrupt, or that the DNC deleted it, or something like that. There's just too many incomprehensible problems with this story that they cannot explain away as just pure government incompetence and technological failures. I mean, when we get to the point where the discovery of the bomb was made by the plainclothes Capitol Police counter surveillance group, there's two individuals, officers, when they notified the Secret Service sitting in the big SUV right in front of the parking garage ramp while Kamala Harris was inside the DNC building, which she has never talked about, by the way, in 4.5 years. And when they walk up and notify the Secret Service that they have just discovered a bomb, incomprehensibly, the Secret Service sits there and finishes their lunch for two and a half minutes before they get out and investigate. And then they never cordon off the streets. They never stop families, young children, from walking right by the bomb. I'm 10 feet away from a bomb. They don't even stop them from doing that. The train continues to run. Traffic continues to run for quite some time. And then again, inexplicably, someone in the Capitol Police Command Center orders three cameras turned away from the investigation scene. And Joe and I have documented that long ago, well over a year ago, that we put the videos out showing, because we did get access to the Capitol Police cameras, we were able to show them actually being moved and turned away, completely away from the investigative scene, and then left there for the rest of the day. pointing at nothing valuable.
So, Baker, when I think of all of this and how aggressive these agencies have been at making sure we can't, that there's no transparency, I know that the FBI director and the deputy director have made it very clear that they want to solve this case and they want to make all of it public. And that was their commitment going into these roles. But there's been a massive effort to suppress the information even prior to them taking on these positions. And then while we were talking, I'm going back in my brain, I'm remembering, well, President Trump actually just posted yesterday was on Truth Social about to all FBI agents who were forced by Christopher Wray to go to the Capitol on the afternoon of January 6th and then risk their careers to blow the whistle. He's calling for, it sounded like, for more whistleblowers to come forward, encouraging to come forward. It sounds like that there might be this understanding that the current FBI understands that there was this massive effort to stage January 6th and to stage the pipe bombing, it looks like now. I mean, why is it this? It's hard to believe that no one's come forward up to this point in regards to the pipe bomber story. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, just at the very beginning of this segment with you, we were complimenting Cash and Company for doing the right thing and firing some of these characters in the Bureau. But there's the first law of being in the FBI is don't embarrass the FBI. They teach you that your first week in the academy. And so it's going to be very difficult for them to admit that their own agency, their own bureau, the one that they revere so much and they wear the badge for and that they all sacrifice greatly to get through the academy because it's not an easy process. And that once you're there, you're part of an exclusive team of, you know, you're generally regarded as the preeminent law enforcement agency on the planet. And you carry that in your head and in your psyche from the time you're sworn in. But the first rule is don't embarrass the FBI. And they've got to determine whether they're going to embarrass themselves, their culture, their bureau, because I believe, this is my own belief, I believe that this was a multi-agency conspiracy. I know that the larger the conspiracy, the harder it is to conceal it and cover it up. So we're not talking about a lot of people, but we are talking probably at the very least the way this looks. It looks like that this may have been birthed and hatched out of the Capitol Police, especially since we see a couple of these new suspects going in and out of congressional office buildings in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And walking past security, by the way, not going through the metal detectors. So there's something going on there. And so it very well could be if people ask me to guess who the three agencies are. And there is a rumor out there. I mean, yeah. I'll just be honest with you. There is a rumor on the streets right now, coming from sources in D.C., in the Washington field office, that this is going to be revealed to be a multi-agency conspiracy, but I've not been able to corroborate that or nail that rumor down yet. Yeah. But if I was going to stick my neck out there, I would say Capitol Police, quite possibly ATF, and then the cover-up may be by the old FBI. We're just hoping that the new FBI will reveal that, if that's the case. And at the very least, just tell us the truth about what happened.
Yeah. Well, Steve, we're going to keep looking for these answers. I know you are digging into it, so we want to thank you for that. Folks, give Steve a follow on X. It's Steve Baker USA. Steve Baker USA, you're doing an incredible job, my friend. And you've got more bombshell reports coming soon, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in the next portion of the show. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. And while you wait for us to come on back, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now, because every time you make a purchase, you are entering yourself in this little contest we got going on for the Sick Ride. So head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. When you do, make a purchase. You're supporting us, and we greatly appreciate for you doing that.
You're not going to talk to me.
Fraud
and talk
and
over me.
New York residents
because you don't want
paid.
To hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
Go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you like shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing
anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off, as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Make sure you give us a ring. Is there something on your mind, a topic we discussed? Maybe you want to maybe talk a little bit more about it. Give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to do our very best to go down the caller list. I know yesterday we were trying to make our way through the whole list and we ran out of time. So give me a call and we will try our very best to do just that today. But I'm excited to have you all here. Of course, we're going to be joined by James O'Keefe in just a little bit at the top of the third hour of the show, of course. So make sure you stay put for that. But let's go with our very first call. Let's go with Bart in Georgia. Welcome back to the show, Bart.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to hit on my prediction about Trump trying to set up Pritzker and the mayor of Chicago. We really shouldn't mention their names He's just giving them publicity. But I think Trump is setting them up because for obstruction of justice and all kinds of stuff. And I want to talk about Letitia James. She's going down too, and the jury's going to be corrupt because it's in Virginia. Trump knows that, but I believe his strategy is to bankrupt these people, not put them in prison. So I'm finished here, but thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, well, it's always good to hear from you, Bart, so thank you. Yeah, I mean, that is the strategy. These people that we're battling it out against are evil, and they've intentionally, you know, not done what they should be doing as leaders, of course, but also they've intentionally gone after their political opponents, and it's endless. We appreciate you calling in today, of course, Bart, so thank you. I'm going to turn to Linda now, because Linda, I hear you want to talk about the chaos in Portland, so welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I often see a lot of people say online how we voted for this or, you know, we somehow wanted this, the people that live in Oregon, because I live in Oregon. And I just want to say that we just the regular citizens here, we cannot change that. We cannot get them out. They have a solid system that delivers them a Democrat every time through various like legislation, you know, actions like motor voter. So if you register for, if you get a driver's license in Oregon, you get a ballot. And undocumented non-citizens do get driver's license here. Also, too, we have weeks of mail-in voting where you have unsupervised ballot boxes all over town. So, I mean, all we can do is move.
Yeah.
And that's just mostly what I wanted to say. All the local and state legislatures all have activist backgrounds. That is not a new thing. I mean, I've been in Oregon for 2 decades. I'm sure it started 2 or 4 decades ago. I mean, of course, like the mayor of Portland, I mean, just Wikipedia him. He, you know, he grew up in Portland, but he moved to New York and worked for NBC, opened a nonprofit. Of course, he's going to hire a chief that, you know, is a DEI hire or adheres to the Antifa type, you know, structure, and downwind they go. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, well, Linda, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you bringing this up because obviously as a New Yorker, I feel for you so many times. That's why I always call it out. They're like, oh, well, New York is just a blue state, so you have to deal with it. But New York's not a blue state. New York City holds it hostage, and upstate New York and Long Island don't want any part in that. But unfortunately, they are stuck. And like you said, they've once they get into power, Democrats, they master the theft so that they don't lose power. And that's the difference between both parties. And so many people look the other way when it starts going on. The mail-in ballots, it's a massive, massive issue. I mean, I remember getting reports in New York that there were people just getting these mail-in ballots for New Yorkers that had left years and years ago and no longer live there. My producer of my podcast, his father passed away, and every year they would constantly get a mail-in ballot for him in New York City. So this is a big issue. These lefties know exactly how to steal these elections. And I hate it when people sit there and say, well, then just, you know, give up and move on. But that's the reality. I had to move out of New York. I was going to run for office. I realized it was just such a swamp that it's one person trying to fix it. It's just not going to happen. And you're going to be under attack literally every day. And so the best thing to do is, sadly, is to pick up, move, and fight to keep whatever place you move to keep it red, to keep it conservative, and get involved in politics so it doesn't happen in your new location. I mean, Florida is where I went to, obviously, as most New Yorkers do. And they've done a good job with that. But it's sad because I also don't want to tell people that you have to leave. You have to pick up and move because these are your homes. I mean, you live here. You shouldn't have to leave because of bad politicians. But unfortunately, that's just the harsh reality. So my heart bleeds for you, Linda. It's very sad that this is the case, but this is where we are at, sadly. But thank you for calling, and I appreciate your time, of course. Craig in Ohio, I see you want to talk more about the digital IDs, so welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Thanks for having me. Great job on the show so far. I really appreciate what
you're
doing and doing a great job covering a lot of stuff. As much as I love, like, Steve Baker and the great work, and, you know, look, J6 is, we got to cover that, you know, and the National Guard moving into these cities and all that stuff. Very, very important stuff. But the problem is that, you know, we've got this digital ID that's going full force ahead. And just to throw these facts out here, 17 countries in the past 90 days, right, they have the same 3 tech vendors. They have the same PR firms running this in almost all cases. They have the same marketing language. So if you think back to Event 201, this is a lot like that kind of a situation where it's a prepping for something, okay? So there's a lot of diversion going on, right? Moving into these cities, you know, Charlie Kirk, right, all the anomalies with that. They can get us looking over here while all this digital ID stuff is being rolled out around the world. We've got Ethiopia, the fated digital system. This is where the World Bank and the IMF love to use developing nations where they can exert their will. We have Vietnam. We've seen that going on. Mexico. People don't realize, but Mexico has a full-on biometric QR code in place, a full-on biometric identification system that's going to be in place by Q1 of 2026, okay? It includes every single job category, right? No one's left out of this thing. Who would have thought Mexico? You know, so, and then bombing these cartels, it's sort of a diversion from all of this. And, you know, I hate to cast doubt on the whole administration, but they're not calling out Charlie Kirk. We see Candace running cover for this whole Charlie Kirk thing now, too, with a bullet. She's sure that the bullet's been lodged. We're getting so caught up in all these other things while this digital QR code's being rolled out, this digital ID's being rolled out full steam ahead. And, I mean, I would love to come. Mel Kay's been great. Mel Kay, I've interviewed her multiple times. She does great work. The point is, like this technocracy is probably the next COVID. I mean, this is shaping up to be a really big deal.
Yeah, no, it is. And you, I think if you, I don't know if you recall, we had her on last week to talk about it too.
Yeah.
And that's, and she's also my neighbor. So we would literally vent about this all the time together back when I lived in Florida, I should say. And so she's actually gonna be in the studio as well soon. But she is someone who we've been talking about this for a long time. So I'm glad that you're bringing this back to the forefront because yeah, this is a big issue. I mean, it's a massive, massive issue and the push for it, even the real IDs here in the United States, every time I go through TSA and I see Christina talking about it, I'm cringing because we know what they're doing here. We know that it's not as innocent as just saying we're trying to verify who you are before you board a flight. That's not the case. And I'm hearing more and more about the biometric data being used and being exchanged with other countries. I shared that story about when I went to Budapest and came back. I was the only one that didn't have my face scanned. And then they had to ask me what country I came from. And I'm wondering, well, why didn't you ask any of these other people what country they came from? And it's because they're sharing our biometrics with other countries. And so I think we're already there at that place. And I also think that Tony Blair angle to all of it, Craig, I don't know if you have an update on that either, but from what Mel was saying, and she was going to do more digging into it, but she was saying that Tony Blair and his son somehow may have had a connection in all of this. Now, we know that he was obviously advocating for it in the UK, but apparently there's a linkage between his son and possibly profiting off of that. I don't know if you heard anything about that, Craig.
Yeah, and to Gaza. I mean, Tony Blair, they're being, again, the whole situation, this is all connected, right?
Yeah.
So the big question in Gaza is who's on the board? That's what people are asking. And Tony Blair is looking like he's going to be involved with his Institute for Global Change, right? The TBI is going to be involved there. And so here's the thing. I was asked, you know, when calling in, you know, solutions, right? Well, we have solutions. We have to go to some privacy currency. You know, you've got Freedom Dollar, you've got Zeno, right? People really have to get serious about getting things into a privacy state. I mean, I have experts we can bring on there, right? Some of the foremost experts in crypto who really understand that Bitcoin's a fraud, you know, and everybody's getting baited in, you know, and Patrick Wood, who's been covering the technocracy for 35 years, right? And Courtney Turner, who's been doing incredible work, you know what I mean, in this whole space, you know, on the Phoenix, you know, she's been doing great work on this stuff. I mean, I'd love to get some of these people on there to talk about this because there are solutions. The problem is if we let this get too much further out of control, as much as I love what Steve Baker's doing, and I am 100% proponent of calling out the J6 fraud and everything else and the bombs and all that, we're moving. I don't mean to belittle because we're moving at 10 miles an hour. These guys are moving at 100.
Yeah.
You know, we have to face what's coming next. And I think that digital, I mean, when you see 17 countries in the past 90 days, same PR firms, same marketing campaign, same everything, it has to remind us of event 201 and what came after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm glad you're bringing it up. I like this. This is, you know, my beat. Anything related to biometrics, digital, going digital, pushing for all of this is right up my alley. So if you have any suggestions on guests, feel free to email me. I know I blast it out, but you could shoot me an email with your suggestions. Just BriannaMorella@protonmail.com is where we go through our tips, me and my team. So, Craig, I'd appreciate it if you do that because we do need to keep talking about it. You know, we have 3 hours every day on this show, so we can hit all these topics. We can hit all these topics. And this is a big one. So thank you for, again, bringing this up. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you for calling in today. I am very thankful for that. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. We've got about 13 more minutes of taking your calls. So 877-789-2539. Let's turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to quickly point out that I was in Portland last weekend. Friday night, Saturday night. What I did get out of the Portland police was a statement that was really revealing.
Mm-hmm.
So they prefer that Antifa's intentions are focused on one building and one building alone. They are terrified of a guerrilla war in the streets of Seattle where none of their officers have any protection whatsoever. So that's their game plan. Keep them at the ICE facility that they're focused and distracted, and everybody else in Portland is safe. That's their. That's pretty much what they think.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, none of that surprises me, and their focus has kind of been on the ICE facility itself. So, yeah, that, I mean, that would make sense. I think that they're just, and we've seen it, obviously, Nick airing it out, sort of, how they're kind of just trying to negotiate with these terrorists and trying to alleviate the conflict between Portland PD and them, Antifa members. So, yeah, that would make sense. Tim, thanks for calling. Was there anything else you had on your mind, though, by the way? Because I give you the, I know you waited on hold for a little bit. So is there anything else on your mind?
God bless the InfoWar. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. We appreciate you, Tim. Thank you so much for that. Inner City Rogue, welcome to the program, my friends. What's on your minds?
Hi, Brianna. Yeah, I'd just like to talk about, real quick, the methylene blue. I had a little experience on it. I just wanted to share it because I know there's some athletes like myself that are probably using it. And when it comes to, like, high-intensity workouts, specifically, like, cardio-wise, I do not recommend a lot of that. It's actually creating more mitochondria, and you're having to like burn off more and like, you know, replenish your system faster. So it's like, I don't know if you remember Alex Jones like referring to like Rob Dew like riding his bike and like his heart pumping too fast and like, you know, he had to like get off his bike and slow down or whatever. That's kind of what I experienced. It was like, it was just too much, and I was just, like, fighting for air, like, I couldn't drink water fast enough, you know what I mean? And, like, these are high-intensity workouts. Like, I do martial arts, kickboxing, Muay Thai in particular. And I just, I don't recommend it, but there are good health benefits. Like, if you're working an 18-hour day or something like that, you're doing, like, I don't know, just a lot of stuff that's, like, not high-intensity, like, stuff or whatever, but, yeah, yeah, just watch out for that and, you know, take caution. And there's lots of great health benefits to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I highly advise against the high-intensity stuff, and my workouts have been better without it. But like I said, there's good benefits. But
yeah,
anyway,
I do. I actually – so just to add to it, though, I do it with the capsules, and I actually haven't noticed any of that. So it might just be different per person. I don't know. I haven't had any issues with the capsules. Are you doing the liquid?
Yeah, the liquid, and I increased my dosage. At first I started off with just a few drops or whatever, but
yeah,
as far as that recommendation on the bottle, it's just like 20 drops. I don't think that's really safe. I think that you guys should probably change at least the serving size on that, because that might be a little bit too much, because I took like 7 drops before my workout, and it was just – and I kept, like, increasing from, like, 2 to 3 to, like, about 7 or 8. And, like, it was just too much at that point. And I just don't understand how anybody could do 20 drops or whatever. That's just too
much. Yeah, I think it depends on the person. Yeah. Yeah, it might depend on the person. So I would say probably just slowly ease your way into it. I mean, I haven't experienced any of those issues. I know, like, we tend to use it in the control room, obviously, before the show starts. And I don't think any of the guys here have had those issues. So I would say just kind of, you know, take it slow. You don't have to go too crazy. You don't have to take too much of it. Try it out. Give it a shot. And don't go all in. But I see that you had a second thing that you wanted to talk about. Is that correct?
Deception. There's this big, strong delusion the Bible talks about, and what Paul talks about in particular in the New Testament, Thessalonians, how there's just going to be, you know, people given over to the strong delusion pertaining to this great deception that's coming. And I just don't see many people putting it together. People really need to be studying their Bibles and understanding, you know, what Paul revealed as opposed to, you know, what everybody revealed, because Paul revealed a mystery, and that mystery is of the rapture. And if people aren't at least wargaming it, you know, I understand people believe in a mid-trib or a post-tribulation rapture, but people really need to be wargaming the pre-trib, because Let me tell you, I mean, it's more than likely when Paul talks about when there's going to be this moment where for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon woman with child, and they shall not escape. That seems more pre-trib. That seems like a moment where tribulation is getting ready to kick off and Revelation is getting ready to start. If you're paying attention, you know this. Mark of the Beast is right around the corner. This prophecy will take place. You cannot stop this. This will happen. That's why we need to focus on saving souls up until this point of the rapture and make sure people are rapture ready. Because once this moment takes place and this sudden destruction takes place, this is when I believe the fallen angels are going to be revealed. And this is what Steve Quayle wanted to talk about when he wanted to come back on the show. This was like a couple years ago. He's been kind of missing, so I'm kind of speaking for him right now because he kind of can't. He's under a lot of threats, I'm sure, because the fallen ones, the offspring of the fallen angels, the Draco reptilians, the Nephilim, the Greys, they're all real, and these are all offspring of the fallen angels, and they're about to get ready to reveal themselves. So this moment takes place, and they shall say peace and safety. Don't be surprised when these UFOs and these things are very real, and they show up and reveal themselves to you, but that's when the moment of the rapture takes place, and then this sudden destruction takes place. And I just need to make sure that everybody understands that if you want to be rapture ready, you need to be trusting in the blood atonement of Christ and not yourselves, because, you know, your own works can't get you to heaven. It's only by the blood atonement of Christ that pays for all sins. It's that shed blood on the cross. So you're either trusting in that or you're trusting yourselves, or, you know, you're caught up in false religion. I just pray none of you guys get left behind. But if you are, you're going to have to deny the mark of the beast and die for Christ to be saved. That's going to be a different dispensation. During Revelation, God deals with people harshly. He brings his two witnesses to get the lost sheep of the house of Israel to come to repentance. It's going to be a very harsh time on earth. But when these fallen ones are revealed, it's so important to not listen to people like Stephen Greer, Billy Carson, and all these people that are like, yeah, the ETs are peaceful. No, they're not. They are deceiving you. If you think they're our ancestors, they're our creators, no, they're not. They're fallen angels, and they're here to deceive, enslave, and destroy humanity. And this is why, you know, no flesh is going to be left at towards the end of the Bible. You know, all the tribulation saints are killed for their faith, but this is a different time during Revelation. I just think people get mixed up between the church age and Revelation, what Paul preached, and, you know, what John preached, and the message for Israel and the heathen of the world. God is
Sean,
going to
and
go
you think I'm crazy because I believe in alien Jesus, okay?
Can you hear me? All right. Well, I want to thank you for calling into the show today, because there's a bunch of others who are ringing us. I want to make sure I get to everyone because we only have about 5 minutes. But thank you for giving us a ring. I appreciate your discussion today. Sean, let me bring you in. Sean, and it looks like California. You got a lot to say about the FBI, my friend. What's going on?
Brianna, back when the 18th Amendment was passed for prohibition, the FBI had a purpose. Fact is we have other agencies that could do their job a lot better. So if Cash Patel was really representing MAGA, he'd slowly dismantle and dissolve that organization, kind of like how the NSA can do signal surveillance, and the CIA was just created to take over from the Secret Service. Secret Service can still do the job CIA does. So these corrupt agencies, they got to go. And if you don't mind, something that you may or may not be aware of, as much as it pains you to move from New York, when you move from a state somewhere else, it's a form of ceding a battlefield. We conservatives have got to quit fleeing our different districts, and we got to grit our teeth and just push through it. You know, it's hard, but and I get it. If someone can't make money to survive, they got to, you know, move out of the area. But I'm here in California. I've been in the InfoWars since '97. You know, watching Alex ever since I was down at Miramar. So, you know, we got to red pill the locals, but also, continue this effort. You can't, you know, leave to better, greener pastures, or you're always going to be a refugee and not a homesteader.
Yeah.
So you got any comments or thoughts?
I'm now in Texas bringing you this great show. But no, I agree. I know it hurts my heart to have to leave. And, it's just such a mess. I mean, I told you I was going to try to get into the fight in California. I mean, sorry, not in California, in New York by running for state Senate. But I mean, it was just so bad. The easiest thing is to just get up and go. So I do agree, though, that you should stick in. You should fight it out. My parents are doing that. trying to at least. It's a rough one, especially for someone like you who's in California right now. So I appreciate you not backing down since 97. That's a long time, my friend. 97, I think you said. So thank you for staying in the fight. I've got about 3 more minutes left, so I want to make sure I turn things over. But thank you for calling, Sean. Aaron in Florida, it sounds like you have a story you'd like to tell us about. So welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Michael Flynn recently put out on X about how the deep state's going to be attacking infrastructure and just keep your head on a swivel. So 2-3 months back, maybe like 4 months back, the hospital, Tampa General Hospital in Central Florida, Tampa, Florida, lost control of the computer system like an odd hour, like 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was leaking. Their hospital was leaking liquid nitrogen. And they couldn't stop it or do anything. And then it just went away. And then the next day it happened again at the same time. And I've been meaning to call into the show and let you guys know that. But I just want to say that here. So hopefully someone listening can investigate, because it was never even on the news. Like, hush, hush. Yeah. You know, liquid nitrogen was leaking and we could have all died. So these people are serious. Like, serious things are happening. And I would do you have anything to say? Because I would like to give a plug.
Yeah. So I'll give you like kind of a response back on that one. You know, there's so many things that happen that a lot of officials think by not going out and saying anything, it somehow serves the public a solid purpose because they don't want to create panic. And so if something like that were to happen, their excuse, and I don't think it's valid at all, but their excuse would be, well, we didn't want to create panic. We wanted people to think that we had control over the situation, when in fact, obviously, if it's true, they don't have control over the situation. And we see it time and time again. You know, when I'm calling and trying to confirm whether or not they're picking up these sleeper cells, for example, totally different topic, but the core of it is pretty much similar. When I'm trying to contact them about the sleeper cell issue, and if they've picked up these guys, immigration has, they won't confirm it because they are afraid of creating panic out there rather than even taking a victory lap and saying, we've gone after these Islamic terrorists that were in our country and we're getting rid of them. So there's a lot to it and I worked over in Tampa too, by the way, in local news. When you're trying to confirm something, they won't confirm it intentionally because they think that they're serving the public a good by not doing that. So I think it's great for everyone just to prepare, because the cyber attacks are obviously happening and they're very easy to do for those who are abroad. And so, yeah, I do think it's a very big threat. You got about 15 seconds for the plug, so I'll let you take the rest of it.
Okay. I saw Alex Jones' mom talk about her back pain went away and the colostrum. I think it's because of the super greens and or the colostrum or both. But I was going to call and say it, but it sounds crazy. But injured 2010, I'm a little achy. I hurt, but praise God for Alex and the work you do. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. 2:8-9, grace by God, we're saved, not through works. Thank you, and y'all have a nice day, guys. Rock on.
Aaron, well, thank you for calling. I greatly appreciate that, of course. All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to have James O'Keefe with us in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. He'll be on in about 6 minutes. So stay put. Thank you for everyone who called in. We appreciate it as always, and we'll be right on back.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
Excited to have you all here. Thanks for jumping in with us. All right, we've still got a lot to go and unpack, so I'm excited that you're all in with us right now. We're waiting to see what's happening at the White House. Melania Trump is set to make a very big announcement any moment now, so we'll bring it to you if it's a big announcement. We're also going to be joined by James O'Keefe in just a few moments. Now, James has just, he recently dropped a bombshell story, ultimately, and now both, obviously, the federal government and the CCP are responding to the story that he's been working on. And it's very, very interesting because the CCP really rarely will issue a response. And so we look forward to having him on to discuss just that, because that is a big one, especially for independent journalists. So we appreciate him for doing that. We're also going to be talking to an attorney in just a few moments as well, because this lawyer is going to sound off. He's been doing all the digging into the 2020 census. And obviously there was a lot that happened for the 2020 census. Democrats trying their very best to steal congressional seats from you, the American people, as well as your taxpayer money, and shuffle it into their blue states. So we're calling out, there's a lot of legal challenges that are taking place right now. So we look forward to giving you an update on all things that. Plus, Mark Mitchell from Rasmussen Reports is going to be jumping on with us in a few moments as well. Because, you know, Mark is doing incredible work. He is the only pollster who I know is always right. I mean, he's always right. Every major election, I can count on Mark to get it right. And he's probably batting 1,000 right now. And so it's exciting to have him on the show because he's got a lot of interesting polls that they just recently released in regards to how Americans are feeling. Let's see, the latest one that just recently dropped was the latest. It is about President Trump's efforts to bring peace to the Middle East. That was a big one that he just recently dropped. He's also polling Americans in regards to how they feel about this shutdown, this government shutdown. Now, Democrats obviously saying it's not because of illegal aliens, but everyone else knows that's the reason why they're continuing to shut down this country. Interesting enough, too, I heard Speaker Mike Johnson earlier in the morning on Fox and Friends, and he was very upset because according to his team, they've heard that Chuck Schumer isn't going to open the government before the King's rally that's taking place in D.C. because they don't want to get a verbal beatdown from their own, and so they're afraid. And they're not going to open up the government, which is really unfortunate for those who obviously work for the government and rely on a paycheck. But for the rest of us, we're just sitting back and watching what's going on. So obviously D.C. is a mess right now, and Speaker Johnson getting very angry with Chuck Schumer when he found out that was probably the reason for the holdup. Again, it just shows you that Democrats are being held hostage by the radicals in their party, and they pretend like they're not. But their party has shifted so far left that it's unrecognizable. And they're just pretending like everything's acceptable at this point. You know, I know a lot of people are critical of Chuck Schumer in regards to AOC, who he believes might be gunning for his seat. But folks, he's really trying to sit here and appease the radicals on his party. I mean, there's no reason for him to not sign off on a clean CR. This is what's going on, though, in our country. You know, Democrats have abandoned the American people and they've shifted towards their new voter base, which are foreigners. So no surprise there. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us though today. There's a lot going on. I don't know if you guys saw the report, but Dominion was sold. It's Dominion Voting Systems. It's a supplier that's used in 27 states. Obviously, we're all well aware of the lawsuits that were filed back in the 2020 election days. But they apparently have been sold to a former Republican election official. The strong ties to the GOP. Now, I don't know what that means. Again, because it's supposed to be a voting system, so I don't want any bias in this. But we're going to follow that story, too, because that's an interesting, interesting one, of course. All right, guys, I want to remind you all at home right now, when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, you're supporting us, keeping us on air, of course, but we're also going to enter you into a contest. For every purchase you make, you guys could win one of these sick rides, of course, plus potentially $20,000 in cash. So go on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We've got incredible items on sale right now, 50% off the sea moss gummies as well. And enter to win a sick ride. We'll be right back with James O'Keefe.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
That you are all here in the third hour of the program. So thanks for jumping in with us. Melania Trump just making her way right now to the podium. She is speaking. It has to do with her letter to Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, of course. Now we've got our ear to that announcement. We'll let you know if anything develops. But as of right now, she just made her way to the podium. And so we are listening in. But it's very interesting, everything going on in Washington, D.C. right now, especially in regards to the CCP. This administration is taking the Chinese communist threats very, very seriously, and they're not backing down from that. Now, there was a recent report from James O'Keefe that was released, and now D.C. is responding by firing this individual because he openly admitted on camera to having, well, to dating someone, and this is where it gets interesting, we'll play the clip, who had questionable ties to the CCP, and outlining that argument there. He is an individual who is a State Department Foreign Service officer, and here's what he told O'Keefe's investigative journalist.
You said you dated a Chinese girl?
Yeah, I was supposed to sort of report what I knew about her.
Is there a concern that it could be, like, related to CCP, though?
I know a guy, but he's, like, straight up, I mean, like, she could have been a spy, even. I don't even know.
I defied my government for love.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
The man behind those great vocals joins us now. Please welcome to the show, James O'Keefe. James, it's exciting to have you on. You dropped a great report, and we love it when we out these CCP individuals who are trying to hide this from our government. So thank you for this. It's also exciting news because the CCP actually responded to you yesterday. Their spokesperson, we're going to play it in clip 17, saying this to your report.
Administration yesterday said that it has dismissed a employee of the State Department of the U.S. for not being able to report his romance with a Chinese national.
It is the U.S. domestic affairs. We have no comment on that. That said, we oppose drawing lines along ideological difference and maliciously vilifying China.
Okay, James, so CCP responding, he has also been fired, this employee. Your reaction to everyone else's reaction to your reporting, because getting the CCP to respond is a really difficult task.
Yeah, this is a very unprecedented situation because the president authorized Secretary of State Marco Rubio to fire this guy. Mm-hmm. And And now we have the Chinese government responding to this undercover video of the State Department official talking about sleeping with a Chinese spy. And this has prompted mainstream media. The New York Times is even covering it. We forced the New York Times to talk about it. The Foreign Service officer failed to disclose his contact with the woman, the daughter of a Chinese Communist Party official, the State Department said. So this is kind of a developing story. And, you know, my team was really in shock to see the Chinese government responding.
Yeah. Do you have any insight as to what his role specifically was, like his day-to-day tasks at the agency? Because obviously it's concerning that the CCP element to all of this is deeply concerning for us. But how would that have put his job at risk?
Well, there are ethical guidelines for these State Department officials. I mean, he's a U.S. diplomat that works within the State Department, and we're not entirely clear what he did, but the State Department has specific laws and guidelines that prevent our government officials from being blackmailed or there's compromising material that's obtained. This is something that happens all the time with people in our government. But it's pretty crazy that you have a State Department official that is bragging to a total stranger. He's a Foreign Service officer, Daniel Choi. There he is. That's his name. These laws exist within our government to prevent people from getting blackmail and using compromising material on our service officers. And God forbid that I was a Chinese spy. Or investigative reporters. But if it's so easy for James O'Keefe and his citizen reporters to just at restaurants get these guys in our Foreign Service to brag about what they're doing, I can't imagine what a Chinese spy would do. And those people do exist. That stuff does happen in Washington, D.C. So it's not good. It's not good. It's not a good state of affairs in our government.
It's not. And the CCP threat is a serious one. And I don't think most Americans really understand how serious it is. You know, we had Steve Baker, another independent journalist on the show just a few days ago, when he outlined the SIM card farm systems they have here in the United States, where they're trying to take out our 911 calling systems. And I think people don't understand that this is a very serious threat, that they've infiltrated the federal government as well. I noticed that the video, though, that you did say that if the federal government didn't kind of make a move, that you were going to start investigating those a part of it. How deep do you think the CCP issue goes? Because you're on the ground in D.C., and I know that you're talking to a lot of people out there. How deep is this issue when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party?
I mean, it's a serious issue. I think there's a lot of espionage in Washington. I think, yeah. I mean, there's more spies in Washington than anywhere in the world. So it's not just China. It's a lot of different countries. But I've said repeatedly over the last year with all of our, we've gotten like now 12 different individuals fired within the deep state over the last 6 to 12 months, that God forbid that it wasn't a guy who was a journalist trying to just collect this information in order to share it with the public for the public's right to know. God forbid that my motivation was dark, was evil. What if I had this material on this guy? And I was a bad actor, and I said, I want you to do this. I want you to influence Daniel. I want you to influence your behavior within the government. And that's the real concerning part here, is that if I was engaged in blackmail, or other malicious endeavors, but thankfully our only motivation is to inform the public. So I think China's a huge problem. And I think there's a lot of other foreign governments that are at play in Washington, D.C., and it's a huge problem. People often think of the administrative state, the deep state, as being this evil, you know, broad-shouldered, you know, demonic thing. But sometimes it's just people who are in a bar bragging to a girl.
Yeah, yeah, and you always seem to capture it. You've got a great number. I mean, plus 12 at this point, getting rid of these individuals who are really trying their very best to hurt our democracy, and it's unacceptable. I also wanted to ask you, James, before you go, though, because we talked about it earlier in the show, how independent journalists are under attack, and obviously I think that you'd be the face of independent journalists being attacked, but most importantly, those who are being attacked while going out there and covering everything, whether it's in regards to Portland or other cities. We saw Nick Sorter, who has a show on this program, get attacked 3 times. The White House is now openly having these discussions with far left groups, but the threat is legit. The threat is real. What's your takeaway from all of these reporters who are trying their best on the ground to get these reports, but they're being assaulted by far left terrorists?
It's a dangerous profession to be on the front lines. I've met Nick in Hawaii when I did my story about 2 years ago. Nick Sorter there, I was working with him on the fires in Maui and how they were prohibiting photography there in Hawaii. Very brave guy, a very bold guy. And that's one of the risks you take. Most of the risks to citizen journalists that I found have been legal in nature. And in this case, they're physical in nature. But we need fearless citizen journalists. We need to recognize people like Nick and recognize people like Nick Shirley, another guy, or Anthony Rubin, people. I admire these guys, YouTube guys, who've gone out there on the front lines, and there they are at the White House. And I see Nick Shirley there in the middle. I mean, my biggest concern is protecting the First Amendment rights of people. And I've seen that under attack. I've seen that under attack repeatedly, whether it be litigation, civil litigation, trying to dox my undercover people, the FBI under a different administration, redacting the full probable cause when they raid. And then there's the separate issue of physical violence, which fortunately I have not been subject to, yet. But, we need citizen journalists because the established media doesn't have the resources or the will or the balls to go out there in the field. So you need people who are outside of the established order to go take the risks.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. James O'Keefe, you're doing incredible work, and we're excited to see what develops from this story. So thank you for joining us. Of course, we appreciate you and all of your OMG journalists. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, as we continue to talk about the left-wing terrorists all around our country who are trying their very best to go after federal agents, it's important to know that they are getting assistance by those at the top. And we're going to play clip 12 for you because the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson, is obviously a communist. I don't even think he would even argue that. He is a communist, and he has declared war on the federal government. Take a listen.
This is not about immigration. This is about a president who wants to enact authoritarianism in this country, where the rule of law doesn't apply to him and to one individual alone. And that's why I'm doing everything in my power to defend the people of this city and to lead a resistance that, quite frankly, is desperately needed to protect our democracy and our humanity.
There, no surprise, of course, they are trying to go to war with the federal government. But the reality of it is, normally, I would say the federal government shouldn't overreach. Truthfully, they're not overreaching. They have abandoned the citizens that live in their state, in their cities, and they have decided to just allow havoc wreak. And, you know, the Chicago mayor, who has, I think it was like a 6% approval rating, is a major issue. He probably shouldn't be so concerned with taking on the federal government. Maybe take on the gangs in your city. Cash Patel saying it's like north of 100,000 gang members in his city. Maybe that should be your focus if you truly did care. All right, folks. So as we were talking about Melania Trump speaking at the White House earlier, it just wrapped up a couple of moments ago. But Melania Trump talking about the letter that she sent. Now, this is developing, so keep in mind, saying that the announcement that she had secured and reunited 8 children after writing Vladimir Putin a letter. She apparently had pleaded with Putin. Again, we're learning more of the details as this is developing, so just bear with me. She had pleaded with Putin to ensure that any lost children were reunited. 8 children have been rejoined with their families during the past 24 hours. Each child was apparently a victim of the Ukrainian war. So it looks like she was advocating for parents to be reunited, and Vladimir Putin did comply. Now, President Trump just responding to all of this, too, and posting on Truth Social this. He's thanking Vladimir Putin, and it's quite interesting because President Putin responds to President Trump not winning the Nobel Peace Prize, saying the award has lost credibility. This is what the president's responding to. This is Putin saying the award has lost credibility. The committee discussed the prize for people who have done nothing for the world. He solves complex problems, crises that the last for a decade. So again, folks, even Vladimir Putin knows that the Nobel Peace Prize is absolute garbage. calling it out. And that's just incredible to see. Now, again, most normal people would say President Trump should have been the winner of that, given the laundry list of wars he stopped. But we don't live in normal times. We'll continue to follow the story about Melania Trump and specifically the stories of the kids who she has helped reunite. But this is good news. Also keep in mind, President Trump is expected to speak at 5 p.m. Eastern time today, making an announcement from the Oval Office. Now, we don't know what that's in regards to either, but one can probably speculate at this point. All right, let's turn to a story regarding Arizona. Arizona Sheriff's Office misused millions of dollars meant to redeem a remedy for racial profiling. Now, again, they're saying that the funds were misappropriated. I'm going through this article right now because it just popped over. We'll get you the latest on that in just a second. I want to make sure this is accurate before I start reporting it because the Associated Press. Sorry, folks. We'll give you a couple of minutes on that front before we start digging into that story. Let's go back to the Chicago mayor. I'm going to talk about this because those on the left continuously go after President Trump rather than fight for their citizens. And it's becoming infuriating to sit back and watch because, again, the Chicago mayor is someone who won based on low voter turnout, but is now trying his very best to pick a fight with the top folks in the administration. And again, you know, we sat here and watched back all week long when they were going out there and they were trying their very best to help these people out. ICE is continuously going out there taking the worst of the worst off the streets. And we know this. I know this because I get all the updates. DHS is constantly sending me the list of the people they've arrested each day. Each day. And many of them coming from Chicago. And so to see these elected officials push back is just an absolute disgrace. Let's turn to a little bit of happier news. We're going to play clip 11 for you because if you live in Florida, there's good news. Publix will begin allowing its customers to open carry. Take a listen.
On your next trip to pick up groceries, you could see shoppers locked and loaded. Publix confirms it will allow people to open carry inside its stores. Reaction here in Hollywood is mixed.
I come from Virginia.
Yeah.
I have, and they have open carry up there. I have for years.
Not a big deal at all.
I like Westerns, but I don't want to see nobody walking around with a weapon on their side.
I don't know. I'd be kind of put off.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since open carry has been ruled legal in Florida. It's not anything goes, though. Statewide, there are still restrictions for people under 21. You can't be a felon. And private businesses can refuse it, like competitor Winn-Dixie. Its parent company telling Local 10, our policy remains unchanged. We do not permit open carry of firearms inside our stores. Any gun sightings here?
No, I haven't.
No, not so far.
Oh, that's good news. If you live in the beautiful state of Florida, again, 2A, I mean, it's amazing to see play out right now. I know Florida is trying to fight hard on this issue. And it's great to see. Publix was one of my favorite, when I lived in Florida, it was one of my favorite places to go to. They're incredible supporters of the Republican cause. And so it's interesting to see as that pops up. Let's shift gears a little bit to Italy because I think this is really interesting. Italy is really taking on the fight in regards to Islam. And it's very interesting right now. They're pushing for possibly banning burqas in public. And I love this because, again, you come to people's countries and yeah, they'll sit there and tell you it's religious, but it's not. It's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover. And Italy pushing back and not allowing it and said they will start fining individuals, potentially, this isn't legitimate yet, who are wearing things like burqas in public. It's meant to take out the radicals within their communities. I don't know how people feel, but obviously here in the United States, that would never be a thing. but it's interesting to see as it develops. You talked about, obviously, you know, Tommy Tuberville taking on this fight. This is going to become more widespread. This is going to become more widespread. And I have to say, it's refreshing to hear politicians just speak about this, because for the most part, for many years now, we've just been told just to deal with it. Deal with it. They're just going to continue to take over communities, and there's not much that you could do about it. And they are blanket under the lies that this is just nothing to be seen here. They're just trying to move into your communities, live amongst you. But if you live in these communities, you know that they're not trying to coexist. Talked about it yesterday, what's happening in Dearborn, Michigan. The mayor in Dearborn, Michigan, telling Christians to leave if they don't like the hostile takeover that's going on. You know, like the prayer being blasted at 5:30 in the morning, get out, leave. No, this is your home. This country was built by Christians. And we shouldn't sit here and continue to allow this to take place. There needs to be a global effort. Very few countries willing to stick their necks out and talk about these issues. Poland obviously being one of them, one of my favorite. Dominik Tarzynski, he is a EU parliament member, going straight to the EU and telling them, we don't want your illegals. We don't want your immigrants. Poland being one of the very few countries that has a very, very low crime rate, of course. We're not allowed to make the direct correlations between the crime rates and those that they've imported to their countries. So again, not truly surprising. We're thankful, though, that the world is starting to pay attention. They're starting to listen in on all of this. And they're all learning, and they're all speaking out, and we're thankful for that. Waiting to get some more information regarding Melania Trump speaking moments ago. Again, she has been a great first lady advocating for freedom, advocating for peace, and writing that letter to Vladimir Putin was an incredible move for the first lady. Previous first ladies would have never done what she did. But she's made it a top priority to defend children. And so she's claiming that Vladimir Putin has helped, and we're waiting for the details in regards to that, direct the back channel meetings and try to find these children, try to reunite them with their parents. So that is incredible news. Here was her letter back when she wrote this on August 15th. And she's pleading for these children, as you can see. Again, very few first ladies being bold enough to reach out to Putin directly and make sure that this happens. And we're proud that she's doing this. It's incredible news. You know, we're still following President Trump as he continues to put out more and more information. But it looks like President Trump, he's tweeting away. I don't know if he's upset about not winning the Nobel Peace Prize. He might be. Probably not. Probably not. All right, looks like I'm going to have an exclusive for you guys in just a few moments regarding the worst of the worst being arrested. And interesting enough, there's a lot of DHS just sending this over to me. I'm trying to go through it as we continue the show. But DHS sending over some very impressive new individuals who have just recently been arrested. By the way, ICE officers are apparently working without pay. So they're doing this right now because they really want these low lives taken off the streets. Pedophiles, sex abusers. Those illegally carrying firearms. I'll break down the latest in just a few moments. They literally just said DHS just called and they've sent over these exclusives. So we'll break that down for you in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
You're not going to talk.
Wasted.
You're not going to talk to
wasted
me. You're not
going to
talk to me and talk
and
over me.
Non-New York residents
because you don't
want to
hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
Go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you like shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, these will be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity in orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
Go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air, and Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Tree will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Going on in the world today, a lot going on over here. We are trying our very best to uncover the theft that's going on right now with Democrats, because Democrats during the 2020 census did their very best when it comes to trying to steal not only just seats in the House, but also do its best to steal taxpayer money. And they did that by several different methods, unfortunately. And it was called out back in 2022, but I don't know if many people actually even realized it. I don't. But we're learning more about it, of course, because, you know, as we played earlier in the week, Senator Jim Banks has come forward and he has outed a lot of the information. But we've known that there have been several red states that have been undercounted while blue states have been overcounted. And so the 2020 census itself just probably should be tossed at this point. But it hasn't. So here we are right now figuring out, what are we going to do? Well, I know those on the left are really angry because red states are starting to redraw their congressional maps right before the midterms. A lot of them think it's an attack on our election process, but it's not. They've already done the attacking. Joining me now to discuss is Robert Govea. He's a criminal defense attorney who's been digging into all of this, and he is with us today. Interesting enough, because he has been uncovering it. He did a great video, and I loved it over on YouTube. And I was watching it. I was like, this guy is on the ball with all of this, especially if you live in the state of Florida, calling out how this has affected Florida residents. Robert, thank you for being with us today. I'm excited to have you on the show. You know, we're learning more and more about the theft of the 2020 census. And obviously that has a big effect on us right now, not only congressional seats, but American taxpayer money has been now given to these blue states when they probably weren't eligible for a lot of these funds. So what is the very latest that you're learning on the 2020 census? And what is, you know, Senator Banks kind of exposing here?
Yeah, it has been, first of all, Brianna, thank you for having me on. It has been a long-running scam that people haven't paid much attention to because we've been focused on all of the other scams that have been happening. But the 2020 census was just as problematic as everything else that we saw in 2020. I mean, we saw the CDC telling us put the masks on, take the masks off, all various interpretations of how the jab would work. We saw that translate into what, in my opinion, was a stolen election. And so everything was just messed up in 2020, and they did a census in that, right? They have to go count people while everybody's locked down and nobody really knows where everybody is. People are living at home. People are living, you know, in nursing homes and kind of being packed in together. And so it was really messy. And what we'll hear a lot from the left is that, well, Donald Trump was the president in 2020, and they were the ones who are effectuating the actual collection of the data. But the problem is in 2021, of course, they installed Joe Biden, and then they came in and they got all of that raw data and they perverted it. They manipulated it, and they ended up doing a couple of different things that rigged the numbers, really. And as you mentioned in your opening, there were a bunch of blue states that got overcount. So we've got states like Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York. You'll notice Rhode Island. All these are blue states. They got overcounted. So they got more population than is real. They shouldn't have all of those additional people. And it's, you know, it's significant. It's 5% in Delaware, more population, 6% in Hawaii. And it just kind of mirrors that down the line. So they get more votes or more people, which turns into more congressional seats, which turns into more electoral votes, and which ultimately turns into more federal dollars, more money, right? The budget is only so big. They measure the various states based on population and then dish out funds based on the size of the states. And so the blue states got a little bit of a boost with their overcounts, and the red states got undercounted. And so places like Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, they were all undercounted. And so long story short, I mean, when you say what are the consequences of this, there was a report over from Heritage and some others saying that you could estimate that Florida didn't get two additional Senate seats or House seats, rather, and Texas lost or didn't get a seat that they deserved, and other states, other blue states, ultimately kept their seats. And so Ron DeSantis in Florida is encouraging some action on this, along with Senator Jim Banks. And so they sent a letter over to Howard Lutnick, and they're basically asking, what can we do about this? The statutes are not very clear if there's a problem. And what's even more shocking about this is that the census report came out in 2020, and as you mentioned, in 2022, they did a look back, and they went back and they said, well, let's kind of reanalyze and audit what we did. And when they did that, they came back and they found all of these discrepancies, right? So it's a major change. And what we saw in the 2010 elections, so the preceding decade before that, was, I think, basically no overcounts, no undercounts. It was perfect. It was minuscule. Out of 300 and something million people, it was like 36,000 were off. And so COVID really perverted the numbers, and it impacts everything. It impacts money. It impacts congressional apportionment. It impacts, your federal funds. I mean, it's really a big deal. And the problem is it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. So we have the Constitution, of course, which we all defer to get our guidance on how this stuff works. And in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, they talk about actual enumeration. So you actually have to count the people. And back during COVID, they just didn't do that. There were a couple things they did. And of course, I can, you know, flesh those out. But briefly, there were two concepts. One was called group quarters imputation, where they were just kind of estimating the number of people that were in certain locations, like in dorm rooms and in nursing homes and all over the place. And they just would say, well, we don't really know where people are because of COVID. Everything's a disaster. We're not going to send people into these locations to actually physically count anybody. And they ultimately just kind of guesstimated, right? Just made up some numbers, and they turned out to significantly benefit the blue states at the expense of the red states. And the other thing they did was called differential privacy, right? And another big issue that we have right now is illegal immigration, illegal aliens, and whether they should be counted in the census as population. Is it talking about citizens, or should the federal budget also be apportioned for illegal aliens who happen to be in sanctuary cities, which are acting as magnets to draw them to these locations so they get more representatives, so they get more money, and they get more political power? And so Senator Jim Banks and America First Legal, I saw you put their lawsuit up. They have been demanding some action on this. So they sent a letter over to Howard Lutnick, and they're asking him to really investigate this. What can you do? What is the statutory remedy in the law when there's a problem like this? And there really isn't one. So the question is, what can be done? Does Congress need to act? Does Congress have to pass a statute and create some remedy? Can the Trump administration just throw out the census and just basically say, we're going to take the raw data that we collected and not put it through those filters, not put it through the differential privacy filter, which is just meant to kind of hide people, kind of to make sure that you can't really count the illegal aliens versus the citizens. You just put it through those filters and you get these rigged numbers. So what can the Trump administration do? Can they ultimately just throw it out and, you know, redo it based on the raw data? I'm sure there would be, you know, a million lawsuits from the lefties on that if that happened. But it is a very important conversation, because we're talking about controlling potentially the Congress. I mean, the margins are very tight in both houses. And so this stuff really matters.
No, it does really matter. And this is a big issue. And, you know, it seems like some red states, Texas leading the way, obviously, by redrawing the congressional maps. So that's a good start. But they are being sued right now. I know in Texas, we're waiting to hear back from the panel of judges in regards that those new maps could be implemented for the upcoming midterm elections. I mean, that's a game changer for so many key red states right now. So that's one way to push back on all of this. If Democrats wanted to continue to manipulate the census, well, at least we could just try to redraw congressional maps. But over time, I don't see that being the long-term fight in all of this. That's probably more of a short-term solution. I remember when all of this was in question, when President Trump in his first term was trying to force the census to ask whether you're a U.S. citizen or not. That was shot down. Is that just kind of like the final ruling on all of that? Or can we go back to trying to push to make sure that we can ask those types of questions when we're taking these censuses exams?
Yeah, the Supreme Court has weighed in on these things. I wouldn't say unequivocally, right? So when stuff makes its way up to the Supreme Court, a lot of it is procedural. A lot of it is, can a lower court judge issue a nationwide injunction or stop the president in this methodology, in this mechanism? But you don't actually get into the substance at the Supreme Court level about whether the remedy was appropriate or not. So, for example, if the president did come out, Howard Lutnick, they found some statutory authority. They said, hey, we're going to rely on the Constitution, just like we've done historically, and just defer right back to Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3. It says actual enumeration. You got to actually count people. The way that this was conducted was not, you know, counting actual people. We've now got some data about that. And they started that process, right? Then they would be sued again, and it would, that issue would probably work its way back up to the Supreme Court, and then we could get them to rule on that remedy, right? Because they issued a different remedy. And so we just haven't, you know, these cases before the Supreme Court really can weigh in on the meat and potatoes of the substance. There's a lot of procedural stuff that goes on. And we saw this, for example, with the birthright citizenship stuff, where the lower level courts were issuing these nationwide injunctions to stop Trump's executive order to prohibit the birthright citizenship. And the first round of stuff at the Supreme Court was kicked down on procedural limitations. Basically, they said you can't issue, you know, nationwide injunctions and stuff like that. So now we're now hitting the merits on that. And so a lot of this, I think, is going to be driven from the White House, and we'll see what they ultimately do about it. But there are other lawsuits. You know, America First Legal has is now weighing in on this. That's Stephen Miller's group, and they do an awesome job. They've handled a lot of very important cases. But they're asking, you know, the states are already objecting to the birthright citizenship stuff and any of these immigration reforms that are, you know, kind of part of the same bucket of offenses. But they're asking to the states, you know, what are your damages? What are, you know, what, how will you be harmed ultimately if you are, you know, not counted, right? If ultimately, like if this is accurate, what will your damages be? How will you be harmed by an accurate census? Like, what would you be so upset about? So that's all they're trying, would be trying to do with the remedy. And then that would work its way up to the Supreme Court. And then ultimately they would weigh in on that. But as it stands, like the law, there's a lot of gray area in the laws and the statutes. Congress didn't really give us a remedy. What happens when you fast forward all the way to 2022? The same census.gov releases another report, just kind of how we like revise job numbers. You know, they look back up. Oh, we thought we had this much. We didn't. They will revise the numbers. But with the census, there's no revisions. They just say we just audited it and we found that it's very problematic. And so what is the remedy? And I'm sure Trump and their team can come up with something that is in alignment with their other solutions, right? They're, you know, big fans of the unitary executive and they have to follow the Constitution and take care under the constitutional requirements to make sure the law is properly employed. So I think it would be, you know, it should be very interesting to see what they do on this because it's part of a much broader battle against illegal immigration. I mean, the birthright citizenship thing also plays directly into that. And they're kind of swinging on all cylinders here.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because I remember, you know, American First Legal also put out this tweet thread. I believe this was actually yesterday, and in it, they're talking about there's no evidence to back the support or back the claims from these states that are going after them regarding President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship, outlining that they're trying to claim all these financial issues related to it. But again, they don't have any evidence of that. So it just goes to show that a lot of these blue states are just trying their very best to throw something at the wall and hope that it sticks. And, you know, great groups like America First Legal are out there trying their best to expose all of this and how heavily flawed it is. So we're thankful for that. But it's not surprising. This is the theft of our elections. These are the theft of the rights of American citizens. And they're looking to possibly bring in a lot of illegals and allow this to all continue to take place. But we're not going to allow. We're going to continue to expose it. Robert, I want to thank you for all the incredible work that you do and especially all of the informative videos you have up on your YouTube page. We greatly appreciate you joining us today and helping us understand this issue because it's complex, but it's also something that every American needs to know about because it's the theft of their voice in Washington, D.C., and that's a major, major issue, plus also obviously the financial penalties for this. So we are just thankful for you to join us today. So thank you, Robert.
I'm thankful for you. Thank you, Brianna. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. We look forward to having you back on soon. All right, folks, I want to switch up gears a little bit because, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today, and we're going to have Mark Mitchell on in just one moment. But I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com because right now we have those sea moss gummies. I know a lot of you are loving these days. They're on sale 50% off today. All t-shirts are now reduced to $19.95 as well. Those are our fundraising t-shirts. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. And anytime you make a purchase right now, for a limited time, of course, you're entering to win one of these sick rides. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com today. All right. Rasmussen Reports has released a bunch of interesting polls. The first one up that we want to talk about is how 49% of Democrats say that, 49% of voters believe that Democrats are in fact doing the shutdown for illegal aliens. Surprise, surprise. Joining me to discuss is Mark Mitchell, the head pollster of Rasmussen Reports, and he's going to break down these numbers for us. Mark, welcome back to the show. All right, so we have all understood that Democrats are shutting down the government because illegal aliens are their top priority. So this is interesting. You're saying now 49% of Americans think that that is the case, in fact. Democrats continue to say, no, we're not doing it because of that purpose. And then they say that we're doing it to defend health care for people, not Americans. So break down your latest numbers.
Yeah, we've pulled a lot about shutdowns over the years. You know, it's always this political football, and there's something very different about this one. And those numbers are interesting. So by plus 5%, Americans think, yeah, it's the Democrats trying to give illegals health care. But then also by plus 4%, they blame Republicans. And if you look at the internals, there's a decent amount of Republicans that blame Republicans for the shutdown. Well, that's because actually over the last couple of years, every time we've asked this, Americans want a shutdown. 56% say, listen, I would love the government to be shut down until Democrats and Republicans can work together on a spending freeze or a spending cut. Problem is, we all know that that's not going to happen. But this is the boy that cried wolf. They always try to make it about blame. And at this point, there are a lot of Trump voters that blame Trump and the Republicans because they want this. And I'll tell you, the thing that I think stands out as most important is that what is Donald Trump's approval rating today? Well, it's back up to plus 4%. So there's been absolutely no impact. And that's different than the 2018 shutdown or 2019, the biggest one in the history of the U.S. government. Donald Trump took about a 10-point hit in approval rating numbers. It lasted a couple of weeks, but then he just shrugged it off. And most Americans said it had no impact on their lives. Only 10% said a major impact. So the media has made all this stuff up about these shutdowns, and Americans have seen them. It wasn't that bad. So actually, they still just want their government fixed. And Republicans should do that. They should use this as an opportunity to do that. And of course, they're not.
Yeah, of course they're not. And it's not really surprising. You know, we've spoken to, we took calls, and I believe it was yesterday. We had a bunch of callers calling in because they keep saying, you know, service members are going to be losing their paychecks and all this other stuff. And even veterans calling into the show saying, like, we don't want that to be used in as like a negotiation chip here. Like, we need to have a clean CR. We need to be able to fund things that we actually need and not all these extra additives into this. And so they weren't fans of that. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's what you would expect from Democrats right now. Also, Speaker Johnson calling it out, saying that they're not going to reopen the government until after the King rally, which is one of the far left groups that is going to be hosting a rally, I believe, in D.C. So no surprise there. I wanted to shift, though, because I know there's a lot to dive into, to your other poll that you guys also recently released, this one being about Middle East peace hopes. Now, obviously, we're hearing that the Middle East peace deals are going well right now, specifically Israel and Hamas. That's likely this weekend we will start to see those 20 hostages released back to Israel. Now, when you ask voters in regards to how President Trump's performance is on all of this, 44% of likely U.S. voters rate Trump as doing a good or excellent job handling the issue between Israel and the Middle East. Break down these numbers, because 44%, I'd say, is fair.
Yeah, you know, I guess Americans were pretty split on this. Yeah. There's a bit of a party signal where Republicans think that it's likely more because Donald Trump's like trying to do this, but only 62% of them. 30% of Democrats said no. And the ratings really aren't that bad. Trump's doing 44% excellent or good. That's higher than anything that Joe Biden was ever rated on ever. But it's not Trump's highest issue. So I think people are looking at it and saying, well, you know, it's probably okay if Trump's like over there trying to fix this. But to me, the important polling is the stuff that we've been covering just generally on Israel. And I feel like there's a reckoning coming. I feel like people are kind of upset about the national discourse and how it's playing out and how it seems to be dividing everybody. Because when the October 7th happened, we started a benchmark question. Just historically speaking, who do you sympathize with more, Palestinians or Israelis? And Israel was plus 30 then, you know, a couple years ago, almost 2 years ago. But in the intervening, when we polled it was back in the spring, it was down to plus 14. We just have fresh numbers out. It's down to plus 13. Only 41% of America answers Israel to that question. And so Israel is hemorrhaging support, including among the right. Now, there's also polling that you haven't even seen yet that's about to come out. And we asked a series of questions. Well, would you support or oppose going to war to defend Ukraine against Russia, Taiwan against China, and Israel against Palestinians? And of those three options, the Israeli war is the least popular, only 38% supported. It's underwater double digits. And only 51% of Republicans would actually support a war to defend Israel. And so that's a problem for Israel, because consistently the you know, sort of neocon evangelical right has been the one that has been the most full-throated support of Israel. And so the people turning on Israel, it's not just the left. It's not just people. Now, obviously, also the 18 to 29s are really, really anti-Israel. Only 25% in the last time we asked it answered Israel to that question. And so this stuff probably needs to end, and I would applaud Donald Trump's leadership here in trying to bring an end to it, because if it continues, it's going to be bad the way that it would perceive that many people are upset about the level of influence.
Yeah, and I mean, I think things are changing, right? Because there's all this media platforms that are available now for folks who want alternatives. And for far too long, the mainstream media narrative has always been very pro-Israel. And now you're starting to see the other side of all of this. Although, and I've seen it firsthand, it goes on both sides, right? I've received invitations to go to Qatar on a free vacation as well as Israel. And so I think there's also this financial backing too that people don't want to talk about on both sides of this. And I, by the way, I've turned down both. I figured if I went to Qatar, they'd probably kill me when I got there. Yes, yes. And I've never been to Israel. Yes.
Yeah.
But Mark, I mean, this is a big issue. And I think young people are waking up. You're going over the numbers of when it comes to the age of these people. And, young people are just saying that they're not buying into the mainstream narrative of all of this, that they in fact are trying to be more independent thinking when it comes to this front. So that's interesting. Mark, before you go though, because we've only got like 2 minutes left, I wanted to mention this one to you because I thought this was so funny as I was going through your website. You guys have a poll regarding Kamala Harris and how 45% of voters say it would be better if Kamala Harris would have won the election. Now, does that match your election polling, or is there a little bit of a difference? Because obviously that sounds like to me these were probably Kamala Harris voters.
No, I don't know. Like, I really don't know where they come from, because if I looked back at unweighted polling without the recalled vote and I wait for a party, it's still overwhelmingly plus Trump. So I think there might be an aspect of like nihilism at play here. And first off, you only get a number that high with a decent amount of people who say they're not sure. And it is a hard thing to predict. Like, really, what would she have been like president? So hopefully that's some of it. But I can say we did ask again in the spring when the stuff with all the tariffs were going on, and it was 48%. So the number has come down, and I guess people are like, well, no, we're stuck with Trump. Let's see what's going to happen. And I think that there's just people who obviously would still vote for Trump, but are maybe unhappy with the way things are playing out. But again, Donald Trump has a plus 4% net approval rating today. I think it was like 51 to 47. And, that's historically phenomenal, higher than any of the last four presidents at this point in their presidencies. And so I don't know where this is going, but I think a lot of what, and I'll tell you what, we just have Jack Chiarelli polls and we have him down 6 points. Mm-hmm. I think Republicans are going to wake up to the fact that, you know, when Donald Trump does a 6-point trailing Kamala Harris in a state like New Jersey in a 12-point Democrat registration advantage context, just because Trump got in office doesn't mean all those Democrats go away. And so the Republicans need to redouble their efforts to actually realign towards the new political alignment, which is like people want the system burned down, especially the young people. They are not happy with it. It's not fair. They think there's two-tiered standard of justice. They think all the corporations are screwing them. They think they're not going to get economically ahead. And it's still the big business Republican Party. We all know it, and they're doing nothing. We know that when the Democrats get the Senate, they've told us they're going to use the nuclear option, and the Republicans can't even agree to preempt them. Yeah. No, we would never do that. The Democrats are never going to do that. They say they will. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what's going
to
happen.
I know. We had MTG on, and it was very controversial because she was ready to hit the nuclear button in the Senate, and a lot of people on X were sounding off about that. But she makes a great point. She does. Mark Mitchell, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you for being here on this beautiful Friday morning. Folks, thank you for tuning in. I greatly appreciate you joining us today. It was an incredible show with so many incredible guests, and we're very grateful for that. Have a great weekend, and Alex is next, so don't go anywhere.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you, like,
Shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexshowstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original Infowars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the Infowar, and I salute you all.